D-Live, and we are going to dive right in here with Ben Shapiro.
I mean actual Christians, not the fake Christians who quote Nietzsche but don't know anything about the Gospel of John. I mean the kind of
there
guys
it is.
Who God's grace and love their neighbors. I'm very, very happy that America is large.
Let me know about the audio levels.
I wish it were more so. I think American-style Christianity is one of the best things to ever happen to civilization. Ever.
Yeah, okay, you're Jewish.
My best friend and business partner is a lay minister. I employ
tons of
Christians. I've given them the freedom and the platform to share their faith. I've written one of the best-selling conservative books of all time.
He's firing back. This is all about us. This is all about the Groypers.
The value of biblical religion. Yeah, a couple more of these. They say that I want America to fight wars for Israel. Nope.
True, true. First, yes, you do.
They say that I'm a chicken hawk. I want to send our boys to die, but I won't fight myself. Okay, reality. People who join the military are braver than I. They've sacrificed more than I. That is a fact. Also a fact. No one in America sends people to die. People volunteer for our military. The draft has not been in effect for several decades.
That's so stupid.
The people who join our military, they're not victims. And nothing annoys them more than being treated as victims by people
who use them as political. Yeah. Yeah, they just get sent where we don't need them, right?
From me. I, like every other American, I have opinions.
We send them to Syria. I think they volunteered to defend the American homeland, not Israel.
Which is a very, very good thing. But suggesting that anybody who doesn't serve in the military can't
louder, can't hear Ben. Okay, I'll turn him up.
It's like suggesting that anybody who is not a police officer can't have opinions about how the police ought to be used. By the way, our soldiers don't need the victimology, the sort of patting on the back of a bunch of weak, effeminate losers who live in mom's basement.
Okay.
They are protecting
you. We're
the
weak, effeminate loser, not you, right?
Okay, other ones. I attacked the Covington kids. I mean, this one is so absurd. I literally was on the phone with the Covington. I know them personally. I was on the phone with them nearly every night, guiding them in the media and through legal strategy. Okay, I haven't revealed that publicly until now, but now that this accusation is out
there. Oh, wow, that's really convenient, don't you think?
Okay, they also suggest... These folks.
Yeah, very tepid applause.
I didn't defend so-and-so when they were banned from social
media. Why did he attack them first,
then? Probably a lie. I've basically defended everyone from being banned from social media, including people who have targeted me and created risk threats for me. Okay, another one they like, that I'm a grifter, right, that I make money. Welcome to America. We have lots of sponsors. I'm very grateful for my sponsors. And I'm not going to apologize for the fact that I offer my sponsors a way to reach my audience.
It's not about making money. I make money. You make money off of lies. You make money off of not being a conservative.
I'm out to make money.
Big difference.
I like money. Congratulations. It's a free market economy.
Excellent clip. Excellent clip. Yeah, we know you like money. We know exactly what you're about and who you are.
Okay, now to a few of their more policy-based claims. When you aren't lying about me or Matt Walsh or Charlie Kirk or David French or Dan Crenshaw, these folks are busy playing defender of the realm by suggesting that all immigration be shut down on the basis of race.
Hell yeah.
Not on the basis of economics, on the basis of race.
Hell yeah. Shut it down altogether.
Every country has the right and duty to defend its borders. I was for a Trump wall before Trump was for a Trump wall. But legal immigration has been overall, not always, but overall, a massive boon to the United States.
There it is.
In periods in
which
it
is
not,
that's all we
need, because government
folks
has basically failed to take into account economic, education, and cultural status of new immigrants. The government should take all those factors into account. Again, economic, educational, and cultural status, all of that should be taken into account. And then we should welcome new immigrants who benefit the United States. This is all very logical. By the way, I'm confused by the idea that we should not be attempting to create a brain drain to the United States by drawing immigrants who are highly qualified here. If you're America first, why don't you want more smart, principled people coming into the United States to make us stronger and simultaneously
to make us stronger economically, but to destroy the cohesiveness of the nation, dummy? These are all straw man arguments he's setting up and knocking
about Israel
down.
And suggesting that if you're pro-Israel, this means prioritizing America over Israel. That's absolute nonsense.
That's right. It is nonsense that you prioritize America over Israel. You don't.
They talk about the USS Liberty incident. There have been multiple studies, U.S. Navy, Joint Chiefs of Staff, CIA, House, Senate, NSA. Most of the reports, according to historian Richard Brownell, do
bullshit.
Not assign culpability for the incident. They focus on communications failures.
Oh, yeah, except for the veterans that were there, right? Except for the veterans, except for the VA, except for the American Legion.
If you have theories of the American government, they've got operators standing by. Feel free to dial them and tell them.
Yeah, we do. We have people that were there, people that survived it.
The 1967 Six-Day War.
Yeah, that's a really... All the studies say, I'm talking really fast. Except for the survivors disagree with you, you fucking bitch.
Speaking of Europe, they tend to say that they like white European ideals. Not Western ideals. Western ideals would be a thing, right? Because you can read about Western ideals in books. White European ideals. I'm wondering exactly...
Look at the way he crinkles his nose about that.
Ideals.
White European.
Too,
white
right?
European.
or Judeo-Christian ideals, which I talk about.
There it is, instead, Judeo-Christian.
They talk about white European ideals. I'm confused. What are white ideals? What do white ideals look like?
Not shooting, stabbing, stealing, killing.
You know, like the professors at East University who are overwhelmingly white and overwhelmingly socialist?
White.
What do white ideals look like?
How
about European ideals, like the socialists over in various parts of Europe? Are you really happy with how Germany's being governed right now, are you? Like, what do European ideals look like to you? Do the white communists at Berkeley have these white European ideals? Race does not have ideals. It's just a melanin level.
No, there it is. There it is.
Think it does.
All races are interchangeable, says Ben Shapiro. It's just melanin.
To the identity politics left, to the intersectional left. Spoiler alert, the alt-right is.
We're not alt-right,
and then the alt-righters talk about how white people are superior to others, but their own idiocy and bigotry demonstrates that isn't true. And they talk about the demographic shift in the country is ruinous.
Okay,
they point to the fact that non-white folk tend to vote Democrat, but this ignores that voting is malleable.
No, it isn't.
That a huge percentage of California Hispanics vote for Democrats. 80% of Florida Hispanics currently favor Florida Governor
because they're Cuban.
Hispanics don't vote universally.
What a stupid thing to say. What a stupid, dishonest thing to say.
For voting. Ethnicity is not
absolutely
the basis for voting.
It is.
Culture may be the basis.
As Asians get more assimilated, they become more Democrats.
Race is not. Again, that is an uncontrollable factor. Culture is a different thing. That affects how people think.
Race and culture. Race
but none
and culture.
Of this is about reality. Okay,
false
so we
dichotomy.
Have step
dumb
one,
bitch.
And that is you masquerade as a MAGA neck. And then we have step two, and that is you claim that you're the true believer. And then we have step three, which is to troll, right? You just show up at places like this and you say dumb things, then you tell your friends how cool you are.
Dumb things,
and you
yeah,
tell
okay. You're saying
jokes
dumb things.
About the Holocaust and cookies because.
That's me! I said that! That's my joke, you bitch!
And then finally, and this is the big one, you count on the left to help you out. And this is where this nefarious alliance that I've been talking about between the alt-right and the hardcore left comes in. And believe you me, the radical left will. I mean, we've seen
cookie
proof
question.
Of it here tonight.
Based
sure
edgy cookie question?
For 40
based
minutes,
edgy cookie joke?
Of the alt-right and white supremacism. And there are people up there calling me an alt-right white supremist.
Yeah, because they're ignorant like you are.
We literally call anybody on the right alt-right, even if we say vocally and in no uncertain terms that the alt-right is pure, unbridled, vile garbage. Even if members of the alt-right target those people on the mainstream right. Even if Donald Trump condemns the worldview. Listen, you can argue with anything mainstream conservatives say. It's a free country. We disagree with each other pretty frequently, but there's no doubt that mainstream conservatives are pretty easily distinguishable from the alt-right. But it doesn't matter. The media will lie about this anyway. So the Boston Globe will call my website, the Daily Wire, an alt-right outpost. We force them to recant. The Economist will call me the alt-right sage without the rage. We'll force them to recant. Over at Boston University, where I'm speaking next week, they're festooning posters of my face with a Hitler mustache, which makes perfect sense. Students at this university will mob people trying to put up posters for a lecture. They'll tear down banners advertising the speech and replace it with a banner reading, "Be tolerant, accept racism." I challenge you to find anything in this speech or anything else I have said that is racist. Really, I'm waiting. Operators on standby. They'll issue a flyer that literally depicts me as a cockroach on a bottle of bug spray with the label "Ben Be Gone." I do love that one, I will say. That was pretty great. I think that my favorite thing about that is that these people, they hear dog whistles everywhere. Right? Donald Trump will say something and they will, "Oh, it's a dog whistle." I say Judeo-Christian values. And then they say, "Oh, that's a dog whistle." When I say Judeo-Christian values, I mean white people. Which is obviously untrue. Dog whistles everywhere, just dog whistles everywhere. And then they put out a poster literally with an Orthodox Jew on a bottle of extermination spray with me as a bug. That's not a dog whistle. That's you howling at the moon. I mean, my God. And then they're like, "Oh, well, you know, we just didn't know." Just, funny, your antenna were up real high in terms of sensitivity for other groups. Weird that your antenna were just completely non-functional.
I'm tweeting,
Jews,
I'm tweeting.
On your
I'm tweeting, I'm back, okay, I'm back.
Very
I was
odd.
Tweeting before,
for
but now I'm back.
Group, we have to be careful of dog whistles that don't even make sense. When it comes to the Jews, you're like, "I'll put him on a bottle of Bug Be Gone, this Jew right here."
There it is.
Maybe it's, I have a feeling, it might be because
Ben Shapiro
unfortunately
is
for the intersectional left,
obsessed
Jews don't actually count
with
as
us.
A quote-unquote minority group. And the only minority groups are the ones that they perceive are victimized. Jews aren't victimized enough, despite the fact that on a per capita basis, Jews are the most victimized group in the United States by hate.
Oh, where's the victim mentality now, huh? Well, yeah, when we
but
talk about troops being sent to die for Israel, you're victimizing them. It's victim mentality. But Jews are the most victimized people ever. Yeah, that's why they have the Zionist Organization of America, right?
Of people who were remotely friendly with the alt-right, people like Steve Bannon. They'll simply overlook that Trump isn't a white supremacist. They'll declare that the MAGA hat is indeed a Nazi swastika. So, clarification for people on the left who apparently can't listen or read. If someone believes that all men are created equal, and men means like mankind, that's what the word meant when it was written in the Declaration of Independence, you idiots. If someone believes that all men are created equal, that every American should have equality before the law, in free market capitalism, in small government, in equal rights for people of all races, that person is not on the alt-right. In fact, they despise the alt-right, and the alt-right despises them. But people on the left know this. They just prefer the lie. Why? Because their goal is to delegitimize the entire right. The goal is to smear the entire right with the label alt-right, to shut the Overton window to everybody who's anywhere to the right of Hillary Clinton. That's precisely why the New York Times splashed a photo collage on their front page of me and Milton Friedman and Dave Rubin and Richard Spencer. The goal was to lump everybody together and then suggest that we are radicalizing the American population, as though Richard Spencer and I have a damn thing in common. For the first thing, I can read. Political correctness is a weapon for the left, but it's also a weapon for the alt-right. However, Professor Steven Pinker, who the left tried to cancel for saying this, made this clear last year. He was saying that political correctness is a way for the left to shut down debate. By shutting down debate, they actually open the door to the alt-right, because they say, you can't ask certain questions. Then the questions get asked, they shut it down, and people go, wait, I'll just look online for the answer, and the first answer they find might be something from an alt-right website, and they start to take it more seriously, right? This is something Steven Pinker said, so the left called him alt-right and shut him down. There's something that's the most nefarious of all when it comes to these sort of de facto playing off each other political lines between the far left and the alt-right, and that is that they actually mirror themselves in politics and culture. They both have an identity politics view. As I say, the left's view of American politics is that Americans can be identified by group. Americans are black or Hispanic or white or green or Jewish or lesbian or, in the best of all possible worlds, a half Native American, half black, little person who is gender fluid. Right. If you're on the left, you don't describe people by their belief system or by what they do. You describe them by their attributes. You describe them by group attributes. And they have a whole intersectional hierarchy deciding how victimized you are based on how many of these boxes you check. The only difference between the left and the alt-right is that they reverse the hierarchy, meaning that the left thinks that hierarchy is bad. Right. They create this hierarchy where white people are the most powerful, and then progressively you go all the way down to the bottom and you get to the LGBT people, and those are the people who are the least powerful according to this hierarchy. And they say that hierarchy is bad. We should just flip the hierarchy. And then you have the alt-right, and they say, no, the hierarchy is good, and we should keep the hierarchy the way that it is. And then there's all the rest of us who are like, what hierarchy? There shouldn't be a hierarchy. What the hell are you talking about? We're individuals. We live in a free country.
Fuck that. We're not individuals. Okay, one more tweet.
All
one more
this
tweet,
is
and then I'm
for
back.
The country. It's terrible for the discourse.
One more tweet, and then
we
I'm back. There's a lot going on. One more tweet.
And answer them. We should. We should be able to have conversations. And we should also be able to see the difference between good, fact-based, rational answers, and identity politics bullshit pandering, which is a specialty, unfortunately, of both the radical left and the alt-right. But the left won't have the conversation. The alt-right really doesn't want to either. They prefer memeing and trolling and all the rest. So, here I am, stuck in the middle with you. Anyone on the right or left who wants to have an actual conversation about tough issues that isn't the bumper sticker, but isn't also not willing to pretend that ugly bigotry is decency, or that identity politics reflects truth, or that trollish memeing is a substitute for an actual worldview. Let's have the conversation. Thanks so much. Happy
okay, yeah. Place. Yeah, let's have the conversation. Why don't you fucking talk to me or debate me then? He does his whole monologue debating strawman versions of my argument and then says, well, the solution is more dialogue. You just have bad ideas. That's why you ignore and suppress me, right?
Ask a question, please walk around.
All right, well, let's see what the questions are.
Stand behind the pink
what a
line
joke.
By the usher,
this is turning out to a much bigger deal than I thought it would be.
Everyone
this is not a training ground engagement. He's waging a full counteroffensive against us, which brings us into the game. That's so funny, though.
Hey, Ben, thank you for coming here to campus.
Oh, boy, here we go.
So I have a question.
This is not a
good one. Many Jews don't like defining Jews as an ethnicity because it was used as a justification for the Holocaust.
Right.
Do you think it is dangerous to define Jews as an ethnicity?
I don't think that Judaism is an ethnicity in a way that matters to me, meaning that there is such a thing as Jewish ethnicity.
Check, we got that.
I don't really care about it. Right. As an Orthodox Jew, I define Judaism
as... She's not a Groyper, but that's a question that's good.
Religion. I don't care if your mom was Jewish.
Was she a Groyper? I don't know. I can't tell.
Like you're born into Judaism.
Maybe she was.
Now,
but it doesn't seem like it.
It is incumbent upon you to be a Jew, but you can also convert.
Seems like a plant.
A Jew. I have relatives who have converted into being Jewish. So the part that I care about when it comes to Judaism is not the ethnic part. There are plenty of people who I think are absolutely awful and actually anti-Semitic and are terrible people who are ethnically Jewish. The name Noam Chomsky comes to mind. Right? Like there are plenty of Jews who I just think are ethnic Jews. Who I think are terrible people.
Oh, ethnic Jews is a legitimate term then, huh?
Doesn't mean that you know, the conflation of the term is odd to me. That's why, you know, I've said before that I think there's such a thing as bad Jews, and people get very mad. Oh, bad Jews. How could you say bad Jews? What I mean by bad Jews is the same thing that a Christian would mean if you said somebody's a bad Christian.
Real intellectual type, though. I can't get over that.
Being Jewish,
the cowardice,
and if
the hypocrisy of somebody that gets on the stage and says, I'm this free speech warrior. I'm a warrior in the battle of ideas. I'm shredding alt-right arguments. I'm shredding alt-right Nick Fuentes' arguments. Meanwhile, you've used your platform, which is 100 times bigger than mine, to do nothing but smear me, try to get right-wing watch to get me banned. You tell your employees to block me. You've never engaged with me substantively. So that just blows my mind how people don't see that.
Hi, Ben.
All right,
my
here we go.
My question is about assimilation, intermarriage, and the American melting pot. A common critique of immigrants to the U.S. is that they don't want to assimilate, but rather preserve their status as a separate ethnicity, culture, religion, or nationality within the U.S. Some parents may teach their kids to only marry within their identity subgroup. To me, that's not consistent with judging people on the content of their character, which I stipulate is a fundamental American value.
Oh, fuck off.
I acknowledge that shared values
Non-Groyper. Get him out of here. Take his coat. Get him out.
Nevertheless, I think non-Groyper. Teaching children to self-segregate in marriage, there's something un-American about that. What do you think?
So I disagree in the sense
he's a race-mixing shill. He wants you to marry.
You made, which is
I was going to say something.
He wants you to marry and certain religious people. Religious values are very key to a solid marriage. How are you going to bring up your kids?
What a faggot, dude.
Religions conflict, for example.
I think that you have to judge people on the content of their character. I think you should judge people on the content of their pee-pee poo-poo.
Saying they want to marry other Christians.
Shut the fuck up, bitch.
I think there are certain overarching values in the United States that we all have to believe in, regardless of our religious values. But I think that what you agree on inside of marriage actually has to be broader and deeper than what you have to agree on to remain in the same country. There are a lot of people in this room. We all live in the same country, and I hope that we all believe in the values of the Constitution of the United States. When I married my wife, my first question was not, do you believe in the values of the Constitution of the United States? It was, what are the values that you and I want to raise our children with? What religion do we want to raise our children in? What are the things we want to teach our kids? And there has to be a lot more commonality in the four walls of my home than there do inside the country. Thank God, because I don't want Americans to be a bunch of widgets. I am fine with religious diversity in America so long as we agree on the key principles of the Constitution of the United States and the Declaration of Independence.
Gay.
America's a creedal country.
No, it isn't.
That's the good stuff. But I'm not going to mandate that anybody has to marry anybody else in order to demonstrate how broad-minded they are, because even if they disagree on religion, even if they disagree, like, I don't think those are the only values. They are the baseline values for us to share a country. Baseline values to share a country are not the same as baseline values to share a marriage or a bed.
Sounds good.
Thanks.
Yeah, okay, whatever, fag. You're not even a Groyper.
Hi. So I studied math. I love idealized systems. And so it seems to me like if you could build a nation from scratch, apart from the messiness of the real world, the idea of limited government.
Oh, my God. Who is this guy with the backpack?
Bootstraps is a great system. But given that for the majority of the existence of America, the government has had laws in place that selectively advantage certain parts of society, we don't live in that idealized world. To what extent do you
You're not a Groyper.
Using resources to bring up people that have been disadvantaged in society,
fucking lab coat,
the poor, so that we can get to a point where there is some sort of level starting line?
Well, I mean, I think that, first of all, you have to distinguish between members of the poor. I mean, treating the poor as like a universal class that doesn't have any sort of income malleability or movement is a category error, meaning that a lot of people who are poor now are not going to be poor in the future. Right, so the fact is that we have
a lot of blah, 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 blah.
I remember a time when I was earning a fraction of what I make now. Thank God, I'm sure there will be
boring,
a point in the future when
boring,
I'm canceled.
Boring, non-Groyper question.
Right, people move up and down on the income scale, and I think that's fine. If the question is, do I think that the government has a role in bettering the lives of people who have suffered, I think that the government is the is
we
the
want Groyper now.
Last resort. Meaning that the government
what do we want? Groyper. When do we want it? Rape.
In raising people from poverty. In fact, it has tended to
create. I'm joking. We don't endorse rape.
It creates dependence. And creating the proper incentive structure from an economic point of view, where you're giving somebody just enough money that they're still working and they still want to raise themselves up, but not enough money that they're going to stay home, has turned out to be actually a pretty difficult task in practice. The Republicans have tried to do this, I think, in the past by adding work.
Everybody's adding me on Twitter, telling me what's
but
going on.
On a general level, my preferred method is that if you are experiencing financial difficulty, this is why I rely so heavily on social fabric, right? I've talked a lot about family, I've talked a lot about community and religious community. First you go to family, then you go to religious community or whatever community you're a part of, then you go to local government, then you go to state government, then you go to the feds, right? Meaning that there should be this sort of movement all the way along the line. I think that unfortunately in the United States we've reversed that and we've said, okay, the option of first resort is to go to the federal government and the option of second resort is to go to the state government. And at no point do you look to yourself or to your neighbors. And we've seen payments in cash form or in the form of benefits as
Benjamin Shapiro.
Benjamin
Shapiro picking a fight with the big Nick. Picking a fight with the big Nick the Knife. Big mistake, Ben. Big mistake. You shouldn't have done that.
Footing the bill for that, or
that's not a threat, but so you're gonna get knifed in the battle of ideas. So the battle of ideas, rhetorically, it's gonna end badly for you.
I would prefer that it's local government because smaller communities.
You know, I keep that motherfucking thing on me.
I care a lot more about people who live in my city.
What did you say about me? What did you say about the Holocaust?
People who don't live in my city. Yeah, so I think that this is particularly true when you're talking about people who suffer, who can't take care of themselves.
I guess I'll have to go back and watch the whole speech because I only got like the last 5 minutes.
Severely disabled. Right, people who are incredibly sick. Right, if you're talking about signing some sort of benefit check to those because everything else has fallen through, without creating an incentive structure such that the community is not
Let's wrap this one up. It's not a Groiper, Ben. Let's wrap it up.
Resort, but I think the problem is
let's get to some Groiper ones.
And so if now it's a question of direction. Are we moving toward a smaller government or moving toward a bigger government? Is the problem not enough government benefits, or is the problem that government has stepped in and quashed the ability of private people to take care of
the problem
of each
is
other
that you are a fucking coward
for individual
and you are
people,
afraid
right?
of
suffering.
Nick Nation. You're afraid of a Groiper.
And then we all chip in.
And you should.
I'm a big believer in charity. I'm a big believer in people helping each other out. I think it's better for them. I think it's better for society than the government sucking enormous quantities of cash out of the system and then injecting it randomly.
I'm a big believer in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And we know what happened with Barabbas, don't we? All right, Groiper.
Hi, thank you for the talk. I just had a question about a comment you made at the beginning about transitioning from male to female.
Oh, come on, for Christ's sake.
How important it is to let people believe what
look
they
at this
guy. How the government and us have no say telling people what they should think or what they should be able to say. I just wanted to ask, what's the harm, you know, if somebody's going to be a happier person because they say that they're a man or a woman, like, what's the harm in just letting them do it?
I'm not in favor of government banning.
What's the harm in shut up
children
and get a haircut?
Now you're talking about somebody who's not capable of consent. Right? All of our laws are based on the ability of people to consent. If you're a child, you can't consent. So I'm very much in favor of banning gender transition for kids. I think that it's frankly evil. I think you're making decisions for children who are not capable of making decisions for themselves that
I'm
are permanent
not happy
and have
about
long-lasting
this.
Significance.
Not happy about this Q&A. We haven't got a single Groiper. They all got removed.
And you want to get a sex change surgery and you feel like it's going to make you feel better, you have the right to do it. You do. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. I mean, the research on this stuff tends to be somewhat conflicting, but if it works for you, it works, right? It's a free country. Now, that's really not the question that's being asked in our society today. Because I don't think there are that many people who are like, we want to ban gender surgery for a 30-year-old. I'm not seeing the campaign for that. What I am seeing is a campaign on the left that says that my child is going to be removed from my home 10 years from now if I don't agree with the left's view of how I should treat my child's gender confusion at age 4. I see the left suggesting that they want to fine me if I refuse to say that a man is a woman as a general proposition.
This sucks. None of the questions are even Groiper's.
Separate, then the left
we're just watching. We're just watching boring.
Or the left
Ben.
Is going to suggest that it has no impact on my business if I employ a woman at Hooters and she shows up the next day as a man, right? Like that does have an impact on my business, right? But the left would suggest, well, you know, you should sort of deal with it. Well, turns out that gender does mean something, and it does have an actual meaning to people outside of you. I'm not going to go along with the general societal willingness to rewrite basic facets of human nature and human biology, and frankly, mammalian biology, in order to suggest that a delusion is true. Now, if the best thing for the person is for the person they can't change what they're thinking, there's no way for them to get out of it, they want to change their body so they feel that it is more in line with what they're thinking, more power to them, that's their problem. And as I've said before, by the way, I've said this 1,000 times and everybody on the left automatically ignores it.
I'm sure they were screening the questions.
If I were in a room with a transgender person having dinner with that person, I wouldn't go out of my way to call them by their biological sex. Because rude, right? I wouldn't do that if I were sitting right across from them. But if you're asking me in a public forum whether a man is a man and a woman is a woman, or asking me to call a man a woman in a public forum, the answer is no.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Great. Golf clap for that retard. Let's get a Groiper. Come on, can we get a Groiper Plox?
Hi. Good evening, Mr. Shapiro.
A femoid, yeah. Definitely going to be a Groiper.
I've noticed on the Daily Wire website, there is no readily accessible public editorialized policy. My question is for you is...
I'm going to slit my throat right here on the stream.
...ethical standards for your publication.
My question is, you're a fucking stupid bitch!
Sort of a vague question. I mean, can you be more specific in what it is you object to about the site so I can defend it? Because
the general proposition
is that we are an opinion conservative site. We do our... I believe that, like every other news institution, we try...
I'm off the goot, man. Where are the Groipers?
We do make mistakes. We retract it. And what exactly is it that you're asking?
Right. So my question
these are all plants. Every one of these has been plants. We get some black kid asking about what he's even talking about. His backpack. He asks a question about backpacks. Then we get some boy, he, she, female, horse guy with long hair. And then what is this? She's asking about editorial standards. Man, shut up. Let's get a Groiper in here, man.
I mean, we. In terms of what we've full-on retractions in the past, that'd probably only be a couple of articles that turned out not to be true. And
this
so
sucks. Boring. Yeah, tell me about it.
You'd probably
we missed the best part. We missed the whole speech.
I don't know. We've run thousands and thousands.
I hope somebody's like recording this
every week. As far as corrections, we issue corrections all the time, just like every other news outlet. I've never felt the need to issue a giant editorial policy. Also, because I don't think journalistic institutions actually keep up with their own journalistic policies half the time. So, The bottom line
is... Who cares, bro? Who cares? The culture war. The culture war is raging.
You like the site or you don't. Either you believe the site or you don't. Either you think we're lying or you don't. I don't think that articulating a policy, a five-page policy that you're... first of all, I'm glad that you're the person who reads the policies. Because really, like, they write these policies and lawyers spend lots of time figuring them out and no one has ever read them. So congratulations to you. You are the person who read the policies. And really, like, good for you. But I think that in the end, people believe news outlets based on what they find to be credible and not based on the articulated policy of the news organization. I find the New York Times to be credible sometimes and not credible sometimes, and their editorial policy has nothing to do with it, really. Yeah, it's fine, but one more, yeah.
So do you have any objective ethical standard, or is it purely based off of your subjective reasoning and...
Nobody cares. Nobody cares.
Well, I think that whenever it comes Nobody to interpretation cares, of news, idiots. There's a certain subjectivity level. I reject
Who cares about
the
this?
Idea that news outlets are purely objective. I don't think the New York Times is objective. I don't think we're objective. I don't think CNN is objective. I think that the best way for people to read news is to read our site and then read Huffington Post, and whatever we have in common is the common basis of fact, and whatever we don't have in common is opinion.
Man...
Hi, Ben. I'm Neil. I study CS at Stanford.
Okay,
I am
come on.
A huge fan of yours. I watch YouTube all the time.
Barf.
I do lean left, however, so I disagree with you on some issues.
Wow, what a real intellectual.
Okay, can we have a show of hands? People who are liberal to left in the audience, people who disagree with what I say, can you raise your hands, please? Thank you for coming.
Oh, wow. Yeah, amazing. Let's all just jerk each other off. Ow, my hands hurt from jerking everyone off
really,
in the room.
It makes the country better that you come to this, and we should go to your lectures, too. It's good. I mean, we do. They're
come to my lecture, bro. Yo, come to the Groiper lecture, Ben.
So my question is about abortion. Uh-huh. That's the issue that I disagree on. You make a very good argument, and I'm going to run with this notion that life starts at conception.
Okay.
In Freakonomics, Stephen Levitt and Stephen Dubner, they talk about how the people who get abortions are the people who need abortions because they can't afford to raise a child, and children who grow up in households that don't have the resources to raise them disproportionately become violent criminals and end up murdering people. So my question is, why do you prefer the life of the unborn fetus over the lives
Dude,
of existing
seriously?
Individuals?
Okay, so a couple of answers on this. First, I think there are serious challenges to the Levitt thesis that the crime rate, so the basic thesis of Stephen Levitt in Freakonomics is that the crime rate drop is associated with the advent of Roe versus Wade. That Roe versus Wade happened, millions of babies got aborted, and then those babies that were aborted couldn't commit crimes.
I think there's something to that.
The problem is the timeline doesn't actually match up. The crime rates didn't begin to drop until 1994. Roe versus Wade happens in 1973. The vast majority of violent crime, or at least a huge plurality of violent crime, is happening for kids who are actually born, but who are actually between the ages of 15 and like 23. So what you would have expected is that there would have been a massive crime rate drop in the late 80s, mid to late 80s, not a crime rate drop in 1994. The reason you got a crime rate drop in 1994 was additional resources provided by the federal government and the states to policing. So putting aside the statistical argument, now to the moral argument. So the moral argument is that that is being made by you, and I don't want to mischaracterize it, is that the
I don't think any, they're not
going to
get any groypers in here.
To be a killer,
not going to be any groypers. They screened them all out or sent them to the back of the line.
The problem is that you cannot kill somebody based on a probability. You wouldn't do this in any form of life, right? If we can't have a Tom Cruise Minority Report approach to children or to criminals in real life, right? There's a big room. I'm sure somebody at this point in this room will commit a crime. That crime may be serious.
Except for me.
That doesn't mean that if I just killed everyone in the room, I've now prohibited the crime. Or if I killed the one person in the room who I think is most likely to commit the crime, it's not you, don't worry, that if I killed that one person, that would be okay. Because again, I'm making a forejudgment about behavior that has not yet occurred. So it is true that a lot of people who have abortions are poor. It is true that a lot of people who have abortions may not have great resources to raise the child. The solution to that is not to kill the child in order to prevent possible future crime. The solution is that people should be having babies more responsibly and that local communities, particularly religious communities, should step in and help out when single moms need help. And by the way, that does happen a lot, right? And that's something that should be happening in increasing numbers. It's also why the government should stop incentivizing single motherhood by cutting checks and playing dad. Yeah.
Hi, Ben. I'd like to ask a question about identity politics.
Sure.
Okay,
so,
Groyper maybe?
To establish credibility, I guess. I'm a little brown, first-generation American, immigrant and LGBT activist.
Oh, great. Yeah, so that's a fucking Groyper. Epic. Come on. Give me a break.
Sorry to the person who gave the shout-out before. That there's more to the description, it turns out.
I believe we can be friends with people we disagree with.
But Ben
as
Shapiro
a result of this combination of identities, I've been called a bigot, a race traitor, I've been mocked, and all this kind of stuff, which kind of led me to become a closet conservative.
Mm-hmm.
So my question to you is, what advice do you have for closet conservatives to survive in a climate or an environment like a college campus like this so that I can get A's in my classes but also voice my opinion on essays?
Okay, so I have a thriving... So first of all, as you can see from the people in the crowd, thank you for being somebody who doesn't identify by your identity groups, but more identifies by the things that you believe. I think that that's very important. Beyond that, the best way to get by, so I have a thriving debate with my friend Dennis Prager on this. So Dennis, who hasn't been in college in a while, he thinks that you should just say whatever you want. You should say it clearly and publicly in front of professors. And if you get the C, you've stood up for principle. And I think this is silly. So what I have always suggested is that the means must be tailored to meet the ends. In class, you're not there to mouth off. You're there to get the A and move on to whatever grad school you want to go to. Right? I mean, that's what you're there for. And if you're writing in blue books, anonymity provides you with a certain amount of protection. And what that means really is that you can speak out as much as you want in many cases in the class, and then if you write in the blue book, you can write what the teacher wants to hear and get the A. That was my plan at UCLA. So in class, I was Friedrich Hayek, I was Milton Friedman, I was Thomas Sowell, and then in my blue books, I was Bernie Sanders. And it worked out great, right? I mean, like, and it's not immoral, because the truth is that the professors are not testing you on your actual thoughts, right? The professors very often are testing you on how well you parrot back to them their thoughts. And so, all right, fine. If that's the game, then I can play the game. But I'm not going to sacrifice my future career and earnings simply to make a point to a professor who is more than happy to lower my grade in order to punish me. So I think a little practicality goes a long way. But you should speak out when you can. The question is, when can you?
Okay, Groyper check, come on.
Yo, huge fan. I used to be those guys outside in the signs, and I used to be huddled in my room in Oakland watching you on YouTube. Watching these guys get destroyed.
Okay, yeah, great job.
So one of my question is, have you been keeping up with what's going on with Roger Stone and what your thoughts and your thoughts on maybe some of the jurors or the judge that might be going against him?
So, to be honest with you, I haven't followed.
Also, Epstein didn't kill himself.
Oh, I'm so blackfilled by this, I can't even begin to tell you. Yeah, it's just a big joke. It's just
okay,
a big joke.
That's never going to stop being funny.
Yeah, it's so funny that he was friends with the Israelis and was running a pedo ring, right? It's just a funny and silly meme.
Honestly,
very
blackpilling.
We need a full-on counteroffensive. We need all hands on deck after tonight.
I've been really watching that pretty closely. I wish I had a better answer on Stone. If you have another
Epstein
question,
didn't kill himself? See, it's
time.
Funny. It's not a totally serious thing that he ran a global pedo ring and they murdered him in jail and he was in bed with the Israelis. Isn't that so funny? Isn't that just a hilarious joke? And we're delegitimizing it because Joe Rogan did?
A human right for everyone. And he brought up that, you know, if you had enough money, you could pay.
Look at this guy. Wow, nice Tommy Lahren shirt, you fucking simp.
Ideas that I never heard before. And
America, Tommy Lahren shirt.
So there are a couple of
and he could be a Chad Aaron. He looks like it.
I like to use when I'm talking about healthcare and thinking about healthcare is that healthcare, you can have three attributes of healthcare. Affordability, quality,
give it a rest. Who cares?
It can be cheap, it can be good, and it can be for everyone. But you can only have two of those things. You can't have all three. There is no program that is cheap and good and for everyone. It just does not work that way, right? If it's cheap and it's universal, then you're going to end up with rationing, which is sort of what you have in Canada and the UK. If you have universal and good, it ends up being pretty expensive. And that's kind of what you have in the United States, sort of, because the truth is that there is basically universal healthcare in the sense that if you go to the hospital, they can't turn you away, but it's very expensive in the United States. Now, it's also on demand. You can get, like, the world has a two-tier healthcare system. It goes like this. You live in a socialized country, and then if you have money, you come here for your surgeries. Right? But the question is what kind of health system you would like to create. The health system that I would prefer is one that is cheap and good, but not completely universal. And then the gaps are filled by charity hospitals. The gaps are filled by local government. The reason for that is because the vast majority of medical innovation happens in the United States. It's very easy for everybody to live off the legacy of the fact that all of the best drugs are created here, all the best surgeries are invented here, that all of the stuff that the rest of, I mean, it's basically like the American economy, right? The American economy goes south, everybody is toast. Well, if the American medical innovation
eighth questioner,
goes south,
Zoomer head says, eighth
there
questioner, no durr, look at me, I lift,
so,
haha. Dude, we know you're doing, your giant arms aren't going to cover the fact that you're still gay as fuck.
More doctors,
talking like an effeminate man, pathetic. Lay biggest man
Singapore
in your office
is,
cubicle,
is,
LMFAO, half us being replaced by Pajit. Says Zoomer had. Pretty funny.
America needs to move to more free
pretty
market
funny,
direction
Del.
Because more free market means lower prices generally and more innovation. It doesn't achieve universality for people, for example, who have pre-existing conditions on insurance. That's where you need charity to come in, and as a last resort, maybe local government.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Yeah, I don't think we're getting a Groiper anytime soon.
This will be
soon.
The last question.
Yeah, last question. No Groiper. Remember, no Groiper.
Hi, thank you very much for the talk and for speaking to us today.
Yeah, I'm calling it. It's over. It's over.
Often in your videos and articles, you talk about America being the best country in the world. And I'm wondering whether that contradicts your belief in both economic freedom and the right to life for the unborn. Because based on indices I've seen...
Did this guy just come from class? Look at this guy. He's got papers in his hand. What are those papers? Everybody here has a fucking backpack.
12th for Heritage Foundation's Economic Freedom Index.
This will not go unanswered.
I think one of only seven countries that permits third trimester abortion.
Yeah, we're going to have to step it up. We're going to have to go with Plan B. That's okay. They want to play rough? We can play rough.
The best, but the best country in the world.
Sure. Okay, so here's how I'd put it. The best baseball team in baseball is the Washington Nationals. They won the World Series. That does not mean that every player on their team is the best at his position, right? The United States is the best overall. If you could choose anywhere in the world to grow up, to have a chance at success, the United States would be the place. We have the most robust economy. We have freedoms that you don't have in other places in the world, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of assembly. We have constitutional freedoms guaranteed, right? All of these things are wondrous things that not only are unique, but also undergird the rest of Western civilization.
No groypers, not a single groyper tonight.
That does not mean that I think that our generalized abortion policy is the best on earth.
They cleaned them out. They exited all the groypers from the event, filtered them.
Now, it is also true
gave them the boot.
Economic Freedom Index, very often, like that particular study, tends to deal with regulatory climate. The United States' regulatory climate, with regard to foreign investment, for example, is weak and needs to be strengthened. That's why we
look at this. Guy Benson, David French, everybody's out on the attack.
America is the least racist country on earth. It is the place with the most opportunity on earth. It has done the most good for the most people in America and around the globe. America is the most rights-based country on earth. It has the best creed that has ever been created by man in the history of man. It seems like a pretty good start. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Thanks for coming out.
Great job. Great job, little Benji. Just making sure all the puppets, all the marionettes are in place. Yeah, okay. I think we're done with that. Look at this. I'll show you what's going on Twitter, what I've been watching for a little while now. Look, we've got Guy Benson. Guy Benson says, watching Ben Shapiro's speech at Stanford, he's intellectually brutalizing the cretinous, pathetic alt-right, a strain of which has been aggressively confronting conservatives lately. They're disgusting, they're bigots, and they're unwelcome in our movement. Good for him and plus one. Isn't Guy Benson literally gay? You know, not only is he gay, but I've heard some stories about Guy Benson and his interns. I've heard a lot of stories about every one of these people in the conservative movement. I bet Guy Benson doesn't want us to talk about some of the quid pro quo that goes on in his office. But, I don't know if I want to go there for legal reasons. But it's very interesting that somebody like this comes out to call us such a nasty thing. And who is quote-tweeting this? Of course, it's David French. Amen. Ben Shapiro's confronted the alt-right consistently and at great cost. Yeah, at great cost to who? Ever since they slithered out of their vile little holes. Oh, was there a typo in there? I think I spotted a typo before I shot that one out. Live tweeting. Yeah, let's see what's going on in the timeline. Let me put some music on so my headphones don't automatically turn off. Do we have any Yandy? Yo, Yandy check? It's in my Yandy folder. Where is it? Let's get a little Yandy going. Just so we have something playing in the background. Let me know how the audio levels are, if you can hear it, or if it's too loud or too quiet. But we're going to see what's happening on the timeline. Ben Shapiro will have another event on the 13th in a Baylor. These filtering out of groypers can't go on forever. No, I think it can, actually. P.S. I love cookies. Yeah, relating. What else do they have? They're scared. Falsely accusing someone of being all right isn't very honest. Oh, it's Cassie Dillon. What a dumb bitch. Dear America. This might be a little too loud. It's kind of loud in my headset. Tests? Are the audio levels good? Let me know. Dear America, Ben Shapiro is doing something important right now for the American political fabric. Tune in. This is the manifest demarcation line between real conservatives and alt-right. This is the counterattack. The alt-right are aiding leftist and identity politics and anti-Semitism. This guy is a faggot and a plagiarist. Anybody know about that? Let's see, Benny Johnson. Irredeemable Benny Johnson. Yesterday, Benny Johnson, the chief content officer for Independent Journal Review, which is a total trash website, was suspended indefinitely for his part in publishing an outstanding conspiracy theory. However, those who follow journalism ethics have long known his name. He was fired from BuzzFeed, where he had been serving as a viral politics editor after, they discovered plagiarism in 10% of his works that they checked. Yeah, so this is a real moral leader, some faggot that worked for BuzzFeed, some guy that watched his wife get smashed, plagiarizer. We've got Benny Johnson. Oh, they're dividing the alt-right. Michael Knowles has been spending his entire speech at Stanford attacking the alt-right. But the confused leftists in the audience want to protest him, so they're chanting, hey, hey, ho, ho, Ben Shapiro's got to go. Rob Smith, again, the gay leftist, says, so true, now is the time for conservatives to separate ourselves and for all from the alt-right. Watch. And Cassie Dillon, this dummy. A bunch of masturbating losers living in their mother's basement. Ben Shapiro's accurate description of the alt-right. Yeah, I think I might have to drop the tattoo for that one, Cassie. But I'm not going. Not right now. I'll have to think on that one. But that's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is. This is the counterattack. This is the smear. I'm sure they got together, and the coordinated strategy is to say, this is the alt-right. Label it the alt-right. Dismiss it. Smear it. Not engage. Filter out all the bad people. Let me say that Nuance Bro's take on this. Bruh, Ben Shapiro's entire speech is about Nick Fuentes, LOL. Now Ben Shapiro's pulling an 8-mile Eminem move where he says everything his rap battle opponent is going to say first. Always been interrupted by far leftist one, ironically, da-da-da. I'm actually loving his speech right now. Cringe. Wow, more like cringe, bro. Let me say it's not automatically a loss for me. The Groyper War, in a sense, has been so successful it has forced Ben to address it head-on by dedicating his entire speech to it. Yeah, that's my initial take as well. 10th questioner. Another Adura tiki tiki dookie dookie. Shut the fuck up. Yeah. Facts, though? Conservative Inc. is playing for time. That's it. That's all they need to do. Yeah, good take, Steve. Follow Steve, by the way. He's a great creator. Brian, I don't know if that meets the TOS, bro. That's pretty funny. Nick has over 13,000 viewers right now. This is a movement, says Zoomer Clips. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yeah, we probably had more people watching my stream than theirs. Daily Wire had only 22,000 on YouTube. Most of the chat is ours. They only have 12,000 on Facebook. Okay, so maybe they have more. But not by much. He's got 10 times the audience I do. Doesn't have 10 times the viewership. Let's see. What else do we have? Would you like to see a Ben Shapiro, Nick Fuentes moderated debate? Yeah, that's going to work, bro. Can't throw tilt. Facts. Physiognomy check on the gentleman from India. Let's see. Six questioner, fat, ugly, dead eyes, fucked up, dead, stupid eyes. Can we double Crenshaw? Time is now. Okay, not Groyper related. Groypers are going to funny mode. I guess there's some irony there. Ben Shapiro says that people shouldn't be forced to assimilate. In other words, this country is a free-for-all, according to him. Situation is deteriorating. Oh yeah, some guy got exited. What? I want to watch this clip. Oh no, I want to see clips from before I started streaming. I want to see what he was saying before I got on. Oh boy, we gotta clear some people out here. Do we have any mods in the chat? Dripping out on this LSD, taking the journey beyond and we offload along till we find a key. Couple girls in my family. Dude, stop spamming, bro. Here I am. If you're gonna spam, I'm gonna block you. Open your mind for the stars and then hop on the board and we soaring in. Nigga can never be tame. I fall the hard, I brother the rain. Okay, bye. Counter signal Kanye, you get banned. Let's see. Falling on stolen my call and been here for a minute now. Living my destiny. Yeah, good point. Good point, Steve. Edgy.
fly to hell in this Wilkinson. Alien, Indian. Alien.
I'm so tempted to drop the tattoo, but I don't know if now's the time. Is now the time for the tattoo? I just believe in science. I don't know. We'll see. Turn up the leaves tonight. Alien. Being about to fly out. Look at the. Let's see. Wait.
How long does it take Cookie Monster to make 6 million batches of cookies?
Bro, go back. Come on. This is going to. Oh, come on. We lost it. Damn it. Twitter's fucking broken, man. Women that redesigned it are dumb. Yeah, that's kind of weak. Sorry. Jaden, come on. We can do better than that. Come on. Well, I missed the video, so we'll have to
become with a thumb. No. Then feel it. This ain't our planet.
TBT, yeah. Kill it. Animals, Fortnite. Kill Nick Fuentes destroy for Nick Fuentes scrolling through Twitter. Now's the time to say it. Yeah, how many people from Twitter, I wonder, are watching this? Probably a lot. Time off. I just took time off. Fly up. Josh Sayers says, tell us about the tattoo, Nick. Ah, I can't do it. I can't stoop to their level. I'm dead. Serious. I'm dead. Serious. Alien. Do you guys know this song? Alien by Kanye. It's pretty good. Time off.
I don't believe in time. I just believe in science. I just been feeling nine.
Hello, Nick Fuentes viewers, says Lynch. Punished Wayne says, rewind the Daily Wire stream. I'll do a full reaction maybe tomorrow. I don't know if I'm going to do it right now. I'll probably do it tomorrow. Or should I? You know what? Fuck it. I'll do it right now. Let's rewind it. Bro, come on. We can't even. Just got privated. They just privated the stream. That's what they did earlier this week. Man, yeah, totally gay. So I guess we'll have to respond to it tomorrow then. Off the meds, off the head. I'll see. The Drake says, Ben Shapiro just spent 45 minutes talking about you. A 21-year-old kid smells like fear to me. My thoughts exactly. That ain't say what they saw. Only the brave, they want us locked in the cage. If you owe me money, I shouldn't have to remind you to pay. In my Ralph Lauren. Oh, I shouldn't flash my DMs like that. But I couldn't help myself. Can't get out of the bed. Paparazzi waiting like that mall on the dawn of the dead. I don't know you, my dog. Step away from the bus. No, they want me to fall. But my balance is just. You weren't with me when I'm Punished Wayne says stream on Facebook. I'll try and find it on Facebook. When they tell me I can't do it, it give me I'm sure they'll take it down there too, but I'll just check. They on my motherfucking dick. All this dirt they trying to get. Go whoever, I ain't got no pick. Come through just to get that flick. Get back. Go down. New era. Slow down. Let me see if we got it. I'm a bull like the hometown. Yeezy zone, Yeezy bomber. We're my own designer. Name good. All my bridges. Here we go. Ben Shapiro, Stanford University. Is this it? Bitch, get in the shower. You a kid to me, boy. I probably fucked your mama 100 M's. You did that? Baddest chick in the world. You hit that? Took your bitch. You missed that? All the fake vibes, bitch. Get back. You get back. Get back. 100 round. No kickback. Let's see. When does it begin? Here we go. Yeah, congrats. Look at this little man. Pathetic little man.
Hey, how are you?
The thing is, Ben Shapiro is a much more organically, well, organically, very loosely, he's a much more popular figure than Charlie Kirk, so they were going to get
coming.
A bigger turnout for this.
Really
anyway.
Appreciate it. Well, thanks first of all to the SCRs.
Wait, pause. Let me just post a link on Twitter so if people want to watch, they can. Let's see. Reacting to the replay of Ben Shapiro's Nick Fuentes speech. Hello, persuasion check. Reacting to the replay of Ben Shapiro's Nick Fuentes speech on D Live Now. I'm posting the link. Copy paste. There we go. That'll boost our audience a little bit here. Okay, let's begin. Tell me about the volume.
We actually have to deal with the fallout of this speech. And Young America's Foundation, thanks to Fred R. Allen, always, for sponsoring.
Let me know if the volume's good or not.
Today's speech was supposed to be titled, "No Leftist Idiots Don't Get to Raise My Kids." And judging by the behavior of the leftists outside and the run-up to this particular event, I think it's pretty obvious why. Their own parents did a terrible job of raising
that
them.
That hurts. Some people are saying download. I'll start the download right now in case they take it down. Let me just get the download going, and then I'll resume. People are saying it's a little loud. Some people are saying it's okay. I'll lower it a little bit. Let me just see if we could get the download started. It's kind of a big file, and I'm streaming right now, so it might be tough. All right, let's begin.
My favorite is that apparently there's some dolt out there walking around in white sheets, which I say, shout out to Governor Ralph Northam.
That's so funny, bro. Ralph Northam hasn't been relevant for like 3 months.
The level of generosity and open-spiritedness of the dorm community here at Stanford. Apparently, the folks at the SCRs put up some posters for this lecture. They were quickly removed, which is a real free speech problem if the administration does not do anything about it. And they're replaced by a letter from the Nordelfa staff. This is one of your dorms. Yeah, shout out to you guys too. It says, "Dear Nordelfa community, we, the Nordelfa staff, care about you, your feelings, your physical and emotional health. You matter and are welcome here in this space. We welcome and center the voices that some may wish to specifically marginalize and target. In that way, we support Black people, people of color, non-binary folks, LGBTQIA folks, Muslims, and Jews. People from diverse backgrounds learning and flourishing together is what makes Stanford and Nordelfa special, particularly if they never have to hear anything they don't want to hear." That last part didn't write. "Thank you for being you. You are a star. And don't let anyone tell you you're not. Why, thank you too, Barney the Dinosaur."
That's not funny, bro.
"Please reach out to any of us if you need to talk or need us to
support you in
any way." The guy's
such a nerd.
Honestly,
if he wasn't being backed by billionaires, where do you think
you
Ben Shapiro would be?
Before he saw the flyer.
Thank you, Barney the Dinosaur. Okay, bro.
Now, as I say, this lecture was going to be about the left's attempts to rewrite American history,
but
gender politics,
basic
morality.
But he changed it just for me.
Their ongoing attempts to seize the cultural and governmental heights of power in order to control how Americans raise their kids. And we'll hit some of those themes tonight. I'm sure that it'll come up during the Q&A. And just a quick preview. The left does, in fact, attempt to twist American history, turn it into an unalloyed story of American evil, try to divide us from each other by claiming that we are not part of the same American family.
Really?
I've
never heard this before.
That American history is not about the constant attempt to perfect the fulfillment of eternal American principles that are embodied in the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of the United States, but is instead a power hierarchy of dominance and cruelty. The left does indeed attempt to do that. The left does indeed attempt to shove its perverse view of gender politics down the throat of parents all over the country, and that will continue and get worse. They continue to maintain, idiotically, that men can be women and women can be men, which is obviously untrue. They even maintain that small children should be able to decide whether, in fact, they are members of the opposite gender. I have a 3-year-old son. Okay, that is the stupidest thing I have ever heard in my entire life. My 3-year-old son is not capable of deciding what he eats in the morning. He is not capable of deciding what he wears.
When does he start talking about me?
He was very angry, and so he decided to lie face down because I have the microphone. Tonight, I'm going to talk about the dangerous game that's being played by two...
Where are we?
If I had let him do that, you know, identify... attempting to rewrite basic morality and basic law by suggesting that speech is violence and violent speech, and they are cramming that down on kids, which is why you have people protesting and suggesting that the very fact that I speak and say things that they don't like is some form of incitement or some form of violence. So we'll talk about some of that tonight, but...
All right, here we go.
Late-breaking events have made it so that I have switched the topic.
Breaking events!
I've decided to talk about something else, and you're all just going to have to deal with it because I have the microphone.
Me!
Tonight, I'm going to talk about the dangerous game that's being played by two particular nasty groups who feed off one another.
Me!
I'm speaking about the radical left and the alt-right.
Not the alt-right. America First,
I discuss
first,
the radical
bitch.
Left on campus all the time. That's because campuses America are first, dominated by the censorious and nasty radical left. On the other hand, I actually did question whether I wanted to talk about the alt-right
Breaking
tonight.
Event.
One reason
Breaking
is because
events.
What the alt-right wants more than anything else in the world is attention. They rant, or they cry, or they even sing their white supremacist anti-Semitic moon landing conspiracism into their webcams for hours at a time while insisting they don't care about attention. But of course,
what
that's
do you
exactly
do?
What
because
about,
we have
very,
a show,
most,
because we share our views, that's exactly what you do, you dummy.
Calendars of conservative events and encouraging trolls to show up to ask pre-written questions designed to elicit lols from like-minded idiots.
It's not about laughing. Asking questions about the census and the Pew Research is not designed to elicit laughter. And pre-written questions, why would you not pre-write the question? Everybody that came to your event pre-wrote their questions, you dumb bitch.
And swear they despise the founders of the alt-right. Some call themselves America First, trying to hijack President Trump.
That's me, big guy. That's me, America First.
More on that in a second. Some name their movements after mammals, some after amphibians.
Groiper.
It gets confusing.
Groiper
check. It's meant to be. You see, keeping people confused is actually one of their chief tactics. Because
that's
it gives
literally
them
you,
to ridicule
dude. That's
anybody
literally
who doesn't
you.
Understand all of their esoteric labels and jokes and beliefs. So why talk about the alt-right at all? The answer is simple. The radical left and the alt-right desperately need each other. Need each other. They're
not
playing
true.
A game in which the radical left seeks to delegitimize anybody who isn't on the radical left by lumping them in with the despicable alt-right. And in which the alt-right seeks to make common cause with anybody canceled by the radical left, specifically with supporters of President Trump, who've been maligned falsely as evil by the radical left in order to artificially boost their alt-right numbers. These two goals are mutually reinforcing. Now, first, I wanted to say, straight for the record, okay, the alt-right does not mean anybody who's an immigration restrictionist or people who are pro-tariff or
That's exactly
who are more
what
isolationist
we are.
On foreign policy.
That's exactly
There's a
what we are.
Set of beliefs. And what you'll see the alt-right do is adopt the beliefs of some of these other movements
in order to find cover. So they don't have the ideas of the alt-right. They're just, but they are. But they just are anyway.
Let's say that you're on the alt-right, whatever your
preferred. They adopt non-alt-right views. They have non-alt-right views, but they're alt-right. Okay.
Let's say, for example, that you're constantly talking about white civilization. A nonsensical term.
Jared Taylor check?
Jared Taylor check? By history and culture and philosophy. But let's say that you say white civilization is under attack by multiracial hordes. Ooh.
True.
Let's say that you're antipathetic toward Jews. You're enraged by the liberties guaranteed by the Constitution of the United States.
What about Jews?
Let's say you spend your days ranting about how conservatives and traditional classical liberals, you know, the sole protective force in America against the radical left, haven't conserved anything.
Yeah, they've really protected
You say that America
right?
is not a propositional or a creedal nation, True. Even though the nation's founding literally begins with the words, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights.
Let's How does that make America a creedal nation? Values, oh, you think America's not a creedal nation? Well, look at the Declaration of Independence. What does that have to do with anything?
Institutions, but you don't belong to a church.
Every country has documents.
League, you don't belong to the Lions Club. You don't belong to the Rotary Club. You don't own a home. You don't have a grown-up job. You probably aren't married. You probably aren't a parent. Let's say that your greatest achievement in life isn't family, kids, church, community, but that you once made a semi-ironic meme that seven other people like you upvoted on Telegram.
How about Vince James? Wait, pause. Pause,
Turns out
check. Not- you know, we just have to pause and treat this like a regular. We can't just go through this. This is just outright slander. This is just simply outright slander. The idea that our movement is comprised of people that are like, oh, the only thing that they have going for them is memes. How about Vince James? Vince James has a family. Vince James had a job. His job was destroyed because of people like you. How about almost anybody in the movement? There, I can tell you dozens of people that have come up to me at CPAC, that have come up to me at Miami, people that are married, people that have high-ranking jobs, people that work in the government. We have people that work in the White House. For him to say that the only people that support these ideas are
oh, they're basement dwellers, duh.
That's literally a left-wing talking point. He wants to talk about the radical left. It's the opposite. It's the radical left and the left that needs the mainstream rights. Why do you think the radical left debates Charlie Kirk? Right? Why do you think the radical left tries to get us banned and doxxed and all the rest, but they don't seem to mind any of these guys? Certainly there are some Antifa that come to show up and protest Ben Shapiro, but Kyle Kulinski debates with Charlie Kirk. Kyle Kulinski wouldn't talk to me. The Young Turks will talk to Charlie Kirk, but they won't talk to me. It's the opposite. He says at the top of the debate, the alt-right, and first of all, we're not the alt-right, by the way. We're the America First right. He says, well, oh, they're rebranding themselves. They're just trying to confuse you. It's really not that confusing, Ben. I've explained it 100 times to people that haven't been following a lot of the internet drama for years that the alt-right was founded by Richard Spencer, or at least adopted, inherited by Richard Spencer. The term was coined by Gottfried and Spencer. And after Hailgate at the NPI conference in 2016, and after Charlottesville, it was increasingly dominated by Spencer, who is, I would say, a white globalist would be a good way to say it. We are not white globalists. Well, you could describe us as identitarians, as nationalists. But the ideology that we have is different from the alt-right in not insignificant ways. And if you know anything about me, if you've ever watched my show, me and Richard Spencer don't even get along. We got along for maybe a minute last year. I could play for you the voicemail that he sent to me in January 2018, and you'll see the differences between what an alt-right person says and what we say. So, I mean, that whole smear is just simply not true. This is, talk about trying to confuse people. This is obfuscation by Ben Shapiro, who's the king of deception. And then to say that, oh, well, the only thing that they have going for them is they're white and they make memes. Well, that's not true, because we have people in the White House. We have people in Washington, D.C. We have lawyers, accountants, doctors. We have people with families. We have people that are old, people that are young, students in Ivy League universities. Who do you think is funding my show? Who do you think can afford to fund my show with super chats every night? You know, you should see some of the numbers that go up. And I don't say that for any other reason other than it's not people that are. And anyway, you know, I also have a problem with the way this is characterized. Ben Shapiro believes that white people have no worth. White people, if they don't have a job, white people that have been left behind by the 21st century are worthless, says Ben Shapiro. You know, never mind the fact that you see the entire interior of the country has been hollowed out by trade and immigration. But if you're a victim of that, I guess you're just a big loser to Ben Shapiro. You know, if you're some white guy on opioids who had his community destroyed and his wife left him and took the kids and all that, and you find some of our arguments, you resonate with that. So I'll even push back on, it's not true that our argument is comprised of so-called losers, but I push back on the fact that people that didn't go to a private Jewish high school like you did and to have your Jewish parents pay for college for you and use their Hollywood connections to get you a career, I push back on the fact that those people don't have any worth. What kind of thing is that to say, right? That's the same kind of shit we hear from the left. But anyway, we'll resume. I just had to pause. He spoke for like 10 minutes and we had to resume.
Not all that many Americans agree with you. After all, your agenda is pretty disgusting.
Yeah,
you also
you're
happen to have the unfortunate
sicko
habit of saying really disgusting things when you think other people aren't listening. For example, your thought leaders, your self-proclaimed lead influencers, will say they're not on the same page as white supremacist Richard Spencer, but then they'll go on Facebook and post about the Charlottesville white
That's
supremacist
me.
Rally, quote, the rootless transnational elite.
That's me, I said that.
White identity is coming, and they know that once the word gets out, they will not be able to stop us. The fire rises.
Well, first of all, pause. I posted that on Facebook after Charlottesville 2 years ago, by the way, when I was 18, so that's convenient that they bring that up. But moreover, rootless transnational elites. Do you know where I got that phrase from? And I'm a genius, and I know exactly where I got it from. I probably heard it 3 years ago. That phrase comes from Roger Scruton, okay? Rootless transnational elite. That's a phrase that comes from Roger Scruton. You know who that is? The English philosopher who talks about architecture? So this fucking dishonest prick says that saying that rootless transnational elite, well, that's some kind of a dog whistle. Okay, then I guess Roger Scruton, who writes about modern culture and architecture, who's universally acclaimed as the founder of, not the founder, but one of the most important conservative thinkers alive today, I guess he's in the alt-right too. And white identity. You know, I guess we're the only people in the world that talk about white identity, right? Not Donald Trump, not Tucker Carlson, not anybody else. You talk about Jewish identity all the time, but taking a phrase from Roger Scruton, having your own identity, and saying that we have started a fire in the conservative movement, I don't see what that indicates there. But again, Ben Shapiro is accusing us of what he himself is doing, which is obfuscating and confusing people.
Really hiding the ball there, are you?
Really hiding the ball, yeah.
Self-proclaimed lead influencer has compared Alex Jones's ban from social media, a ban, by the way, which I opposed publicly, to a modern Kristallnacht and the beginning of a white Holocaust.
I said that.
When it comes to the
I said that deliberately to get people riled up like that, so that is true. I did compare it to Kristallnacht, which it is. Night of Broken Glass, it is. It was an act of intimidation towards people. But Ben Shapiro doesn't like when you talk about the Holocaust. He gets really upset about
Holocaust
this.
Itself. You have some questions. You do.
No, those I would never question the Holocaust.
Like this. This is a direct quote from a lead influencer in the alt-right.
Me.
Says,
I'm not in the
if
alt-right.
If I take 1 hour to cook a batch of cookies and Cookie Monster has 15 ovens working 24 hours a day, every day for 5 years, how long does it take Cookie Monster to make 6 million batches of cookies? I don't know. That's a good question. No, that doesn't sound really correct to me. Wait a second. It takes 1 hour to build a batch of cookies, and you have 15 ovens, probably in 4 different kitchens, right, doing 24 hours a day for 5 years. How long would it take to get to 6 million? I don't know. It certainly wouldn't be 5 years, right? The math doesn't seem to add up there. None of it really adds up. None of it really makes sense. This crazy cookie analogy. 6 million cookies? Nah, I don't buy it. That's all irony. I'm an irony bro.
Ben Shapiro said irony,
the kind
bro.
Of stuff some of these folks are saying.
That was all ironic. I'm an irony. Bro, I said it was ironic. Oh, that's so funny. It's just like in The Joker, Ben Shapiro's like, you really believe that making that joke, that making that cookie joke was funny, don't you? I do. And I'm tired of pretending it's not. Those cookies couldn't carry a tune to save their lives. Boo, boo. Oh, come on, Murray. Comedy is subjective. Oh, that's so good. I think we've had enough of your jokes. How about another joke, Ben? What do you get when you cross a batch of cookies? Call the police, Gene. Call the Politicon security, Gene. That's so funny. That's not funny. You can't joke about that. Knock, knock. Ben Shapiro says, well, you had to look in your notebook to find that one. I want to make sure I get it right. Knock, knock. It's the Jews, ma'am. Your son questioned the Holocaust. He's dead. Boo, boo. Wah, wah. Hey, you can't joke about that. Yeah, that's not the kind of humor we do on this show, Nick. That's what they're saying. Knock, knock. Knock, knock. It's Turning Point USA, ma'am. Your son questioned the Holocaust. He's dead. Oh, it's too funny. They ask questions. It was a joke, bitch. It was a funny joke. They're acting like, oh, they're these alt-right trolls. They're saying outrageous things to get attention. They're making jokes. Oh, they made a joke. They're asking questions. Shut it down. Shut their hateful ideology down. Nick Fuentes made a joke about the Cookie Monster. Oh, fuck off, you piece of shit.
For the record, by the way, just so the facts are on the record, according to Henrik Tauber, a member of the Sonder Commando who worked in several of Birkenau's gas chambers...
Come on, Ben. just we set the record straight. There were. We're going to do this now. We're gonna relitigate Holocaust denial. It was a fucking joke, dummy.
Bodies a day. The procedure was to put the first body with the feet toward the muffle back down and face up.
No,
and
see, just so everybody knows. It did happen.
Fast. The bodies put in first soon started to burn. Their arms and legs rose up. Women's bodies burn much better and more quickly than those of men. For this reason, when a charge was burning badly, we would introduce a woman's body to accelerate the combustion.
Ron Unz, American Pravda. If you're interested...
In fact, it seems like some members of the alt-right, they have a pretty large problem with Jews generally.
No, we don't. I love you,
like,
bro.
Quote, so-called Jewish values tend to favor liberal and internationalist positions like abortion, foreign intervention, multiculturalism, homosexuality, and mass
immigration. I think I said that.
Some of you will say that you're hurting your daily existence by Jews. You suggested that a religious Catholic who writes for my website, a guy named Matt Walsh, is a, quote, Shabbos goy race traitor who is throwing his own people under the bus and hates white people. In fact, Walsh is, according to you, an F-word, that would be for gay people.
F-word. Say it, faggot!
Genitalia race traitor who works for the Jews. What prompted that outburst, by the way, on the part of this alt-right lead influencer?
Lead influencer of the America First movement.
Said that the El Paso racist shooter should be publicly executed in brutal fashion.
No, you dishonest schmuck. You dishonest. First of all, I love how he rolls through these. He's like, oh, you might say the Jews hurt you in your daily existence. Hello, department. Hello, there's a Jew who's trying to hurt my life right here, right? Yeah, I was so out of line for saying that, because ever since I said that, the only people who can't let me live it down is the Zionist Organization of America and Ben fucking Shapiro, and all these people that work for him. Yeah, so I was really out of line to say that. Oh, I know that was so bad. And when I said about Jewish people favoring liberal internationalist positions, dude, that's literally what Bret Stephens said, you stupid bitch. I'll have to do a full YouTube video with clips and with documents, because everything here that he's saying is demonstrably wrong. I'm so glad I watched this tonight and didn't, like, procrastinate until tomorrow, because there is so much in here that is just demonstrably not true, that if anybody took the time to watch, you know, Rootless Transnational Elite, I can still, to this day, I'm sure, go back and find the Roger Scruton lecture I heard it from 2 or 3 years ago and show you where he said that. I could go back and I can show you Bret Stephens debating a rabbi about whether Trump is good or not for the Jews. You could look it up on YouTube. Where Bret Stephens himself, it's a quote from the horse's mouth, Bret Stephens, who is Jewish, who was born in Jerusalem and wrote for the Jerusalem Post, said that Jewish people tend to favor liberal internationalist positions. And liberal internationalism has been so good for us as Jews. That's a quote. That is a quote from the opinion writer at the New York Times, Bret Stephens. So he's taking all these different things, which I'm quoting, which I'm citing from people he agrees with. And he said, it's alt-right. So yeah, this is going to be easily picked apart. And understand, this is why he doesn't want to debate. Because when he's up there, and as he said, I have the microphone, so I'm on a power trip. I'm 5 feet tall, but I'm on a power trip because I have the microphone. Only when he is monologuing after kicking out all our supporters, trying to get me banned off Twitter, trying to get people to disassociate with me from the conservative movement or anybody in D.C., only in this environment can he read off this bullshit. Because if it was in a debate, he could call on it on the spot and people would see what a liar this man is. You know, and they say, oh, no, the left wing is trying to make advertisements about me and you know, pesticide. It's like, well, I don't know, big guy. This
also,
is kind of tricky
lead influencers
behavior.
In the alt-right, not so fond of black people either.
I love
one particular
people.
Lead influencer, when asked if having sex with a dog is the same thing as having sex with
there
a black man, said, quote, they would both be degenerate. Really?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Some stupid whore, and I've been over this 100 times, some stupid whore who has a tattoo on her ass of a bar in Clarendon, Virginia. So this is who we're talking about. Septum ring, nose piercing, fucked every guy at the Leadership Institute training with the tattoo of the Don John bar on her ass. She's the one that started secretly filming me in the basement of the Leadership Institute headquarters and said, do you think having sex with a black man is the same as having sex with a dog? And I said, no, but I don't care for race mixing, okay? And I don't, and I don't, and that's a popular position. But they try and pretend like, oh, he compared it to bestiality. Yeah, I was set up. Somebody secretly recorded me, asked a load of questions, and I answered it correctly.
Really classy people. So,
really classy people.
Believe all these garbage things.
Yeah, what did you say about bulldozing Palestinian villages? I love how these people are the first ones to cry foul if you bring up their old quotes. And they say, oh, no, I disavowed. You know, Ben Shapiro said that Israel should be ethnically cleansed to Palestinians. We're all supposed to give him clemency on that because he said 5 years later, oh, I don't agree with that anymore. But I said 2 years ago when I was 18, being secretly recorded in a loaded question, that I don't like race mixing and my life is destroyed forever. I'm a really classy guy, according to Ben Shapiro. Go fuck yourself, you fucking loser.
Which things, and you are, in fact, a garbage human being.
Garbage human being. Dude, you're fucking scum. You're going to burn in hell for denying
Christ.
Obviously,
white supremacist garbage. What do? You take 4 steps in order to legitimize yourself. Step number one, the Trump gambit. First, you declare your allegiance to President Trump and declare that you're not really alt-right, even though you obviously are.
We're not.
You show up to lectures wearing a MAGA hat in order to get the media to cover it and in order to demonstrate that you are truly a representative of the 63 million Trump voters. You call yourself America First. Hijacking Trump's slogan, but what you actually mean is white Americans first.
Yeah, that's another slogan. That's another slogan from the left. We've never said that. And by the way, we do support President Trump. I took shit for 3 years for supporting President Trump. Everybody that asks a question supports President Trump. We're getting cover from Michelle Malkin and Ann Coulter. They're defending what we're doing. They know that we're nationalists. They know that we're sincere Trump supporters. We didn't tell the first two people to bring the rosary when they asked the first questions in Colorado. The people that follow me are Trump-supporting Catholics. Oh, but that's all a gambit. But yeah, Ben Shapiro says, well, they don't say they're alt-right, but they are. Well, they don't say they don't support Trump, but, you know, they don't. And they don't say that they're whatever. Yeah, so everybody's lying except for you, Ben, right? Everybody in the world is a dishonest piece of shit, garbage human being, except for you. Ben Shapiro, whose father paid for him in one of the most elite private Jewish schools in Los Angeles, got him into college, paid for his undergraduate degree, got him set up with some guy in Hollywood, got him set up with the Wilkes brothers, billionaire people that funded the Daily Wire. But yeah, we're the garbage human beings. What has this guy produced in his life other than hot fucking air and advertisements?
Heated up because the media loved nothing better than, of course, lumping Trump in with particularly this group. You don't have to take my word for it. You can just ask Andrew Anglin, the neo-Nazi who runs the Daily Stormer. He posted a calendar of events for alt-righters to attend and attack, including this particular event. And he wrote last week, quote, I think basically we've got a model going forward that is going to work. If we get questions, we'll take questions. But simply being there and heckling in the audience relentlessly is extremely effective. And you can meet other like-minded people there this way as well. Remember, we're all good optics, American nationalists now. Longtime readers will remember this is something I pushed very hard while others were dressing up in neo-Nazi costumes. And by talking about these issues instead of saying, gas the kikes or whatever, we are more or less immune to being fired or kicked out of school if doxed. You just, if somebody calls you alt-right, you say, no, of course I'm not an alt-right neo-Nazi racist white supremacist. I'm just an America First nationalist and a MAGA supporter. Now, this is a clever tactic. It is. Donald Trump is many things. He is not a white supremacist and he is not an anti-Semite. His daughter is an Orthodox Jew. So is his son-in-law. So are all of his policy advisors, or at least many of his policy advisors with regard to the Middle East. Donald Trump moved the American embassy to Jerusalem in a bold move of solidarity with the people of Israel.
His roundabout. We get it. He's a Shabbos boy too. We get it,
Trump
bro.
Heights, Ramat Trump is named for him in the Golan Heights. Donald Trump has nothing to do with these so-called self-proclaimed America First asshats. In fact, he's very close.
You're the one wearing a fucking ass hat on your head. This signifies I rebel against Jesus Christ. This signifies, you know what that means, right? Yeah, we're the ass hats. Look at what's on your head, big guy.
Right, Donald Trump regularly invites Charlie to official meetings in the Oval Office. But, you know, these people bought some MAGA hats. So
yeah, because Charlie Kirk's father worked with Donald Trump as a contractor in the 1980s and 90s. Yeah, Charlie Kirk is in the White House, and that signifies that Donald Trump loves his ideas, and not that he worked with his father. You know, I hear a lot of this in D.C. I hear a lot of this in L.A. I hear a lot of this, frankly, from Ben Shapiro's types, you know? My father. Charlie Kirk's is my father. Ben Shapiro, my father. Yeah, these people are all connected is what that means. Give me a break.
And they know it. Which is why, again, they're encouraging people to wear MAGA hats to events. So be on the lookout. That doesn't mean everyone with a MAGA hat is an alt-righter, obviously. What I'm saying is that the vast majority of people who wear MAGA hats are not alt-righters. I'm saying the alt-right is looking to disguise themselves specifically for purposes of publicity. Okay, step two, then you declare yourself the true conservatives, the true heirs to conservatives.
We are, not a
bunch of masturbating losers who live in your mother's basement. No, you're the true heirs of conservatism.
Masturbating losers who live in their parents' basement. There it is again. Yeah, not everybody Ben Shapiro can have their parents foot the bill for elite private Jewish school in Los Angeles. Not everybody can use their father's connections to get them into UCLA and go to law school and get them set up with Hollywood producers. And that's literally what it is. Where's Jeremy Boring's background? Anybody remember Jeremy Boring, co-founder of the Daily Wire? What's his background in Hollywood? What's the background of Ben Shapiro's father and mother? They work in entertainment. He was born in L.A. Hollywood people propped him up and created the Daily Wire. Where was he 5 years ago? He was on Piers Morgan. The guy looked like he was a middle school president. Anybody remember that look that he had? And then he got Jeremy Boring, and he got Rush Limbaugh, David Limbaugh to boost him up. He wrote a book when he was 17. Oh, okay. Yeah, and I'm sure his parents knowing David Limbaugh had nothing to do with that.
Simply lie about mainstream conservatives. You suggest that mainstream conservatives are insufficiently committed to social conservatism.
True.
So, one of the things that all these people have been planning to do the last several weeks is they show up in the Q&A lines and they ask the same 9 questions. So I'm just going to knock down these questions right now and then we can actually have a real Q&A with real questions. Saves us time on the other end.
I like how they're cheering for that. They're cheering and they're saying, yeah, don't engage. Don't engage with any of these people. Don't engage with who they are, what they actually believe. Just suppress them, kick them out of the event, and then we'll take the so-called real questions. Back to the real story, which is Medicare and tax policy. Congratulations. So they've been showing up to events and asking, in the front, yarmulke in the front.
People like my friend Dan Crenshaw, Republican of Texas, and former Navy SEAL.
Okay, left-wing people. Can we skip this?
To leave. Barely puzzled. I'm standing up here bashing the living shit out of Nazis.
Wow! Well, look at some of these guys in front. Oh my, it's amazing.
What's a guy gotta do?
He's bashing Nazis. Yeah, we're Nazis, sure. What does that make you? Does that make you Ergun? Does that make you the IDF?
Okay, so back to, we're gonna get rid of all these questions so we don't have to deal with them in the Q&A. So a lot of these alt-writers have been showing up at various events, and they've been asking questions like, how does anal sex help us win the culture war?
Yeah,
really, this is the thing they've been asking.
Question. Yeah, it's a legitimate question.
I mean, I'm not sure how them masturbating to pictures of frogs helps win the culture war either, but the purpose is to simultaneously pose as edgy and also to preserve your ability to say that you were joking, but the goal is really to suggest that if you oppose the alt-right, you're in favor of destroying the traditional family, which is ridiculous. Now, the actual answer, the non-snarky answer to this ridiculous question, is that criminalizing consensual activity without externalities is by definition losing the culture war.
We're not talking, no, dummy. See, and there it is. This is why he won't take the questions, because nobody's talking about criminalizing anything. We're asking why Charlie Kirk, who has Oval Office meetings with the president, as you said, because of his father, why he is alongside Rob Smith, a black homosexual who 2 years ago said that Donald Trump was a grifter, why he's sharing the stage with Charlie Kirk and telling college students, impressionable young people, what conservatism is. Oh, well, you want to make gay sex illegal? No, bitch. We don't want to have Rob Smith on the stage with Charlie Kirk. We don't want Charlie Kirk on the stage. We want someone that's a fucking Christian on the stage. Yeah. Rob Smith says, well, God's okay with anal sex. Yeah.
What helps America win the culture war is freedom and liberty
freedom,
and the government
sure.
not being involved in your life.
Oh, okay. No government.
And if you, like me, believe that certain personal activity is a sin, you know how you win that culture war? By having people join your church, by engaging with your community, by teaching your children your values. That's the way you win a culture war.
Here's the thing, dummy. I just love this. We are challenging your position where you're promoting it to young people. You're promoting it to college students. Nobody's saying that you can't raise your own family. No shit, dude. What do you think is the next step? What do you think Charlie Kirk is doing? Why doesn't Charlie Kirk tell his kids about anal sex and not go on a college tour? We're trying to do the same thing they are. We're trying to spread our beliefs. We're trying to influence politics. Why does Charlie Kirk and Rob Smith have to be on the stage then talking about, oh, I'm a gay conservative and that's great? All of these arguments are just as dishonest as they can possibly be. It's just taking what we're saying, taking the truth, and just twisting it around. He said, how does anal sex help us win the culture war? In other words, why are you promoting gay people in your culture war tour? How does promoting degeneracy and homosexuality, how does it help Christians and conservatives win the culture war? Which is an honest question. And Ben Shapiro says, well, why don't you teach your kids about Christianity? Well, we are. You know, do we not engage in politics? Why do you have a radio show then? If you have a problem with people doing BDS, tell your kids not to support BDS. Oh, you know, alt-right people are screaming in front of webcams. Yeah, I'm screaming in front of a webcam right now. What do? That's your job. You have a podcast. You're not screaming in front of a webcam. You're screaming in front of a camera that was paid for by billionaires. So it's different, you see. When Ben Shapiro does these stunts to get attention, you know, when Ben Shapiro, does these ridiculous campus tours, and he goes to, what was it, Loyola in Chicago, and he leads a march to the principal's office, that's not attention-seeking. When Ben Shapiro goes on tours and tells people what he believes or asks questions of people or does debates, well, that's his prerogative. But when we go and ask questions, well, it's sabotage, it's trolling. Freedom, bro. Why don't you use freedom, bro? When Ben Shapiro opposes transsexuality and homosexuality, well, of course, you know, he's just saying he opposes it. But when we oppose the promotion of it, well, we want it to be illegal. The guy's just a dishonest hack.
Bewildered by it. There's great irony in watching alt-righters claim they should use the commanding heights of government to cram down their viewpoints on others while complaining that the left uses the commanding heights of government to cram down their viewpoints on others.
That's literally not at all what we're saying. Number one, that's not what we're saying. We're saying Turning Point shouldn't promote it. And number two, yeah, there's a big difference between the government promoting what's right and the government promoting what's wrong. Ben Shapiro says, well, left-wing people forcing kids to be transgender is the same as right-wing people forcing kids to not be transgender. No, I think there's a pretty significant difference. One is evil and one is good. And I'm so tired of this, what would you even call it, ambivalence about it or whatever, with this idea that the government has to just hold everything constant, hold everything static in place, instead of going on the side of good, that we can even engage in such a state, right? In other words, that the government can make sure that good people can be good and bad people can be bad and everything's just okay. No, either evil people control the government or good people control the government. Or that's not exactly correct, because there's no such thing as good and evil people. There's people that can do good and can do bad, but there's a government that has policies that promote good and there's policies that promote evil. Promoting policies that are evil is just like promoting good. The government should just not promote anything at all. Well, that's not possible. You got to pick a side. Either the government's promoting evil or complicit in it, or they're promoting good. That's all there is to it. Well, they're accusing the left of, you know, chemically castrating boys, and that's the same as, you know, the government being against gay marriage. Yeah, okay. I'm sure the rest of the country agrees with this.
You can't really whine about using the government to shut down your viewpoint when you plan on using the government to shut down everybody else's viewpoint.
Yeah, we can. All viewpoints are not the same.
But many folks on the alt-right are busy playing true believers by suggesting that social conservatives like me, people who wrote entire books on the evils of pornography in American society, or people like David French, who spend their days fighting for religious freedom in court, are standing ardently in favor of drag queen story hour at the local library. Okay, newsflash. I think drag queen story hours border on child abuse. I think parents who expose young children to sexualized cross-dressing adults are doing something wrong and bad. I also think,
by the way, nobody said that they're standing in favor of drag queens, obviously. We're saying if you do not oppose degeneracy where it begins, then who is to say that in 10 to 15 years, you're not going to, or the conservative movement is not going to be relatively further along down the path to more degeneracy. The question is, if 10 years ago you were against gay marriage, but all of a sudden, you know, the position is by Charlie Kirk in particular. And they also obfuscate here. I said on my show that these people are not all the same. I said Shapiro and Walsh and Knowles are good on social issues. The point for that question, and again, the deliberate confusion and obfuscation tactic, the point was directed at Charlie Kirk, who says, well, I'm against gay marriage, but I think everybody could do whatever we want. And the point is not to say that Charlie Kirk necessarily endorses drag queen story hour. The point is to say, if you go from 10 years ago, mainstream conservatism opposes gay marriage, and now you do, and anybody that opposes it is the new Westboro Baptist kids, like Benny Johnson says, then who's to say that in the next 10 years, you know, if the radical left was at gay marriage 10 years ago, and now the right is at gay marriage today, who's to say that in 10 years the radical left is at drag queens, and then the right will be later on? In other words, if you don't take a stand for Christian principle, if Charlie Kirk will not say, I'm not going to promote homosexuality in my event, then where do you draw the line? How do you prevent that from happening? What is the limiting principle to liberal ideology like this that says, you know, do what you want in your own homes, judge not, right? That's the argument. Ben Shapiro says, oh, they say that we're arguing in favor of drag queen story hour. They want to criminalize homosexuality. This is why I wouldn't take the questions. Because he's, I'm going to preempt the questions. I'm going to answer them before they get asked by twisting and manipulating them. And this is not anything remotely close to what we say. And if there was a engagement, then he would be called out on that. But he's in a room full of sycophants. It looks like the whole row is like the Zionist. The whole front row is like whatever the Zionist frat is on the campus. I don't know what it's called, but you could see the whole room is, oh, man, I love you. Ben, I drink out of your I don't want to say that. It's kind of vulgar, but I drink your bodily fluids out of the leftist tumbler, leftist tears tumbler, the leftist tears mug. You know, so of course you're going to get cheers from the sycophants, but if he actually had to answer questions, well, then it'd be a different story. That's why he did this.
I also think that in governmental terms, if you allow the library to decide which speech to ban, it's much more likely to ban the Bible than drag queen story hour. I'm for limited government because I do not trust the government to decide what kind of speech it wants to ban.
Sure, yeah. So drag queen story hour goes ahead. Drag queen story. This is incredible by conservatives. This is what we mean by culture war. This is what we mean by waging a culture war. It means that the left is going to try to enforce this on us, and so we have to try to fight for the same thing. Ben Shapiro says, well, the left is going to enforce drag queen story hour, so just got to let them. Because you know what? If we try to enforce Christian morality, well, the left would try to enforce their thing. It's like the left is already trying to use government to enforce their thing. Ben Shapiro says, well, everybody should just agree that we shouldn't use government. Well, the left does not agree. The left does not agree. And there's a lot more leftists than there are right-wing people or classical liberals or whatever you want to call it. We saw that in the last election. We saw that in Virginia 2 days ago or yesterday. Well, you want to use government to promote Christianity and they want to use government to promote degeneracy. Yes, yes. At a certain point, you have to take a stand. You have to take a courageous stand. You have to have moral conviction and say that we are going to create the society that we want. Not a society where it's a free-for-all and anybody can do anything and evil people are allowed to abuse the system.
Okay, so now I'm going to knock down a few of their Q&A questions about me personally. We can go through these real quick because I don't really care about them.
First,
they claim
bitch.
That I hate Jesus. Okay, I'm a Jew. I don't believe in Jesus. I don't mean to be facetious
about
this,
Jesus.
But like this is obvious that I don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah. You see, like, I have a hat. It says the whole thing, like, truly.
Yeah, we know. We know what it says, Ben. We know exactly what
said,
it says.
I'm really, really glad that Christians do. Like, really glad that Christians do.
Yeah, of
I mean,
course
actual
you do.
Christians, not the fake Christians who quote Nietzsche but don't know anything about the Gospel of John. I mean, the kind who go to church and seek God's grace and love their neighbors.
I like that. That was literally from a. I know exactly what he's talking about. There's a Vice article that Will Nardi wrote about me. Will Nardi is a good friend of Cassie Dillon. He used to work for Ben Shapiro. And Will Nardi said in a Vice article that I read Nietzsche and I'm Catholic. And he was like, well, how can he read Nietzsche and be Catholic? Yeah. How could you read a book? How could you read two books? So Ben Shapiro is saying, well, oh, Nick Fuentes is a fake Christian because he read Nietzsche once. Oh, okay. So he's talking about the evangelicals who say that, those who bless Israel will be blessed and, you know, the people that are foolishly giving money to that country. That's what he means. I love the goyim. I love Christians who will pay me, watch my advertisements and will give me money. I love the real Christians that will give me money. I love the real Christians that will be nice to me. I love the real Christians that support my country. I love the real Christians that watch my radio show, right? Of course you do,
Ben. Very, very happy that America is largely a Christian nation. I wish it were more so. I think American-style Christianity is one of the best things to ever happen
American
to civilization. American-style
Christianity.
Ever.
Of course you do. Evangelical, pro-Zionist Christianity.
My best friend and business partner is a lay minister. I employ tons of Christians. I've given them the freedom and the platform to share their faith. I've written one of the best-selling conservative books of all time that basically calls for more conservatives to go back to church and argues for the value of biblical religion. Okay, a couple more of these. They say that I want America to fight wars for Israel. Nope. Nope. First
yes,
of all, Israel
do.
Can take care of herself.
Then why doesn't she? Israel can take care of herself. Then why the fuck doesn't she? Is she, you know. Why doesn't Israel take care of itself? Why do they need us occupying the Golan Heights, right? Or have troops stationed in Syria along the Israeli-Syrian border. Why do they need us in northeastern Syria to prevent the Assad government from consolidating control over Syria? Why do they need us to depose Saddam Hussein? That's what they wrote in the Clean Break Memo. That's what Wormser, Douglas Feith, Richard Pearl, that's what they all wrote in the Clean Break Memo in 1996 for Benjamin Netanyahu. And then they all got in the State Department and they waged war against Iraq and they planted the seeds for Syria. That's why they're always agitating for us to go to war with Iran, right? And that's why Ben Shapiro was in favor of all of it. Go back to any of his publications or his pieces back when he wrote for Town Hall 10 years ago from 2003. This guy was one of the ones that made the case for Iraq. Oh, well, they say I want war for Israel. Well, that's not true. Yes, it is. You were in favor of the war in Iraq. I believe you're in favor of regime change in Iran. I haven't kept up to date on his position on that, but Iraq is sufficient. And he's against Assad. And Israel does not take care of herself. So, you know, all this is just not true. All this is a lie. But what more can we expect?
They say that I'm a chicken hawk. I want to send our boys to die, but I won't fight myself. Okay, reality. People who join the military are braver than I. They've sacrificed
true.
More than I. That is a fact.
You sacrifice nothing. You sacrifice
also
nothing.
A fact.
You've been given everything.
No one in America sends people to die. People volunteer for our military.
People like Richard Pearl and Douglas Feith send Americans to die for foreign interests. That's what happens. People volunteer to serve our country and, you know, the DOD and the Pentagon and people like Wormser, Feith, Pearl, Bolton, all the rest, they send people to war. People volunteer to defend the homeland, to defend American security, and people are sent to Burkina Faso to die. For what? And this chicken hawk thing, that's not even the crux of the argument.
It has not been in effect for several decades. The people who join our military, they're not victims, and nothing annoys them more than being treated as victims by people who use them as political pawns. They don't need protection from me. I, like every other American, I have opinions on how to use the American military, because we have civilian control of the military here in the United States, which is a very, very good thing. But suggesting that anybody who doesn't serve in the military can't have an opinion about
nobody's
the use of the military...
That. Nobody's like... saying that. Nobody's saying that. We're asking the same questions at Dan Crenshaw's event, and Dan Crenshaw lost his eye in the Middle East, dummy.
Suggesting that anybody who is not a police officer can't have opinions about how the police ought to be used. By the way, our soldiers don't need the victimology. Sort of
this word again.
Patting on the back of a bunch of weak, effeminate losers.
We can't take care of anybody. We can't take care of anybody.
You. They are stronger than you. Okay.
We cannot defend anybody's concerns other than our own, right, Ben Shapiro? Yeah, we cannot defend the veterans. We cannot defend, you know, veterans are dying at the VA. They're tougher than you, bro. Shut up about the VA. If they care about that, they can talk about it themselves, you know? Oh, you know, people are getting their lives destroyed. Their jobs are you know, being stolen from immigrants or sent overseas. They're pretty tough. They're working on a factory. They're tougher than you. They don't need you to stick up for them. Nobody should stick up for them. They can take care of themselves. So what are you doing then? If Israel's so strong, why does Israel need you to stick up for Israel then, huh? Israel's tougher than you, Ben. IDF is way tougher than you. Why do they need you to shill for them in all your articles on Daily Wire, all your videos on PragerU? Just a completely non sequitur, you know. This victimology, trigger, safe space, this whole vocabulary is designed it's sophistry is what it is.
Other ones. I attacked the Covington kids. I mean, this one is so absurd. I literally was on the phone with the Covington. I know them personally. I was on the phone with them nearly every night, guiding them in the media and through legal strategy. Okay, I haven't revealed that publicly until now, but now that this accusation is out there, I may as well say it. You can call them, you can ask them.
That's so convenient. Yeah, it's so convenient that after you attacked them and then got backlash and you're a major media figure who could help them, that's incredible. That's so incredible. You know, and what's amazing about this is it's like the question is not – one of the questions we were going to ask was not, you know, why did you attack – or rather, it was not about him attacking the Covington kids in itself. It was why did you go at the left-wing media – right away, instead of Trump-supporting, anti-abortion, Catholic teenagers? That was the question. So, you know, whether or not you called them afterwards and said, I'm sorry, I'm rich and I can give you legal advice and I'm famous, that's irrelevant. The question is, why is it that when the media pulled up white, Trump-supporting, Catholic teenagers, anti-abortion teenagers, why did you immediately side with the left? Well, what about that situation screamed to you that you should join the chorus of left-wing people ruining kids' lives? I said, this is absurd, and I've never revealed it until now, how convenient, that I actually know them. Okay, why did you attack them then, Ben? That doesn't mean you didn't attack them. Okay, you made a mistake. Well, why did you make that mistake? We can make mistakes, but that one was a beauty.
Okay, they also suggest, these folks, that I didn't defend so-and-so when they were banned from social media. That's probably a lie. I've basically defended everyone from being banned from social media, including people who have targeted me.
Except for James Alsup, except for any of the major people. Did he defend American Renaissance? No. Did he defend James Alsup? No. Did he defend Jared Taylor? He did not. Did he defend anybody that he would classify in his own subjective way as alt-right? Did he defend Faith Goldie? Didn't hear about that. More lies. More lies.
Risk threats for me. Okay, another one they
didn't defend the Stormer,
right, that I make money. Welcome to America. We have lots of sponsors. I'm very grateful for my sponsors. And I'm not going to apologize for the fact that I offer my sponsors a way to reach my audience. I'm very proud of them. I think their products are good. That's why I talk about them.
I love
products.
And if
it makes me money at the same time, great. I'm out to make money. I like money.
Clip that. Somebody clip that.
Congratulations. It's a free market economy.
I'm out to make money. I love money. I'm all about money. Okay, man, your words. I didn't say that. Is Ben Shapiro going to clip this in his next speech? When he does his next monologue about me, is he going to say, Nick Fuentes said that Nick Fuentes said about me that I love money and I'm out to make money. Isn't that so anti-Semitic? Is he going to do that for the next one? Really? Your words, bro. Your words. Yeah, I'm not out to make money. I mean, don't get me wrong. I like to make a living. I like to make money, but I don't do advertisements. I don't give a shit about products. I don't give a shit about advertisers reaching their consumers. What the fuck does that mean? I'm proud that I give a platform to advertisers to reach their consumers. What the fuck are you talking about? You're supposed to be some kind of political activist or something. Don't you have any kind of deep-seated concern about the country? I'm out to make money. I'm trying to create a platform for advertisers to reach consumers. That's not what I'm about. I've gotten big advertisement offers. I've gotten big money offers to do all kinds of things, and I turn them down. The only people that fund my show are the people that watch it. I've been offered countless. I got offered advertisements this week after all this is going on. CBD oil, soap. Soap was one of them. T-shirts, books. I've gotten all kinds of advertisement offers. Small ones, big ones. I turn them all down. Because I don't work for advertisers. I don't do this for money. I hope that my viewers will support me with money so I can make a living. It'd be nice for them to support a comfortable lifestyle. Don't get me wrong. But I'm not out to make money. If I was out to make money, I would have stayed in school. I would have worked for Daily Wire. I would have worked for the Republican Party. I would have been a consultant. So no, we're not all out to make money. That's not what America's about. America's a free market. That's what it's about. No, that's not what America's about, actually. So I think that belies the whole worldview right there. Oh, they call me a grifter because I make money. No, we call you a grifter because you say things like, I'm out to make money. And your whole platform is a lie. Your whole platform is a hoax. You are out essentially to scam people for money. It's not wrong inherently to make money, but it's wrong when that's all you're out to do. You know, you give live speeches at a pro-life rally, and in the middle of it, you do four advertisements for life insurance and pillows. Seriously? For ZipRecruiter? Anybody catch that? He was at some pro-life demonstration over the summer. He did a live taping of his podcast. Even though it was a live taping for, you know, how many moms, how many families there to stand up against abortion. He did four advertisements. Oh, well, ZipRecruiter, buy life insurance, buy my product. Well, I'm glad you're really proud of advertisers bringing their goods, bringing their wares to the market. That's really incredible, dude. You're a hero.
Okay, now to a few of their more policy-based claims. When you aren't lying about me or Matt Walsh or Charlie Kirk or David French or Dan Crenshaw,
yeah,
these folks are busy
us.
Playing defender of the realm by suggesting that all immigration be shut down on the basis of race. Not on the basis of economics, on the basis of race.
Yes, correct.
Let's be clear. Every country has the right and duty to defend its borders. I was for a Trump wall before Trump was for a Trump wall.
Yeah, this is obfuscation. No, pause. This is obfuscation. We're not talking about illegal immigration. We're talking about legal immigration. They always do this. Charlie Kirk will always say, well, I'm always against line cutters and border jumpers. Okay, answer the fucking question. Because, sure, there's a lot of line jumpers and border crossers coming over. You know, something like 1.5-2 million every year. But, you know, there's more than 1 million legal immigrants coming over through visas, green cards, all kinds of things like that, temporary work permits. And that's a problem. But, well, I always think we should defend our border.
Legal immigration has been overall, not always, but overall, a massive boon to the United States.
Wrong. Maybe to its
economy.
In
periods in which it is not, that's because government has basically failed to take into account economic, education, and cultural status of new immigrants. The government should take all those factors into account. Again, economic, educational, and cultural status, all of that should be taken into account. And then we should welcome new immigrants who benefit the United States. This is all very logical. By the way, I'm confused by the idea that we should not be attempting to create a brain drain to the United States by drawing immigrants who are highly qualified here.
Okay, yeah. Immigration
helps us. Immigration helps us.
Yeah. Want to go there? You want to go there? I got the receipts for it. This is from We Wanted Workers by George Borjas, one of the top immigration economists in the country, out of Princeton University. He's an immigrant himself. He says that if you break down welfare usage by household, you'll find that 44.7% of Hispanic immigrants are on some form of welfare, 44% of Hispanic households, 62% of Hispanic households are on some form of welfare if you use a more accurate study, 47.2% of black households use welfare, and we find that with natives, it's only 27.4% of households that are using welfare. There's a number of other statistics in here, which I just have to find in a moment. Let's see. This is from Table 9.3. It's the long-run fiscal impact of the average immigrant. Long-run fiscal impact. Fiscal meaning budgetary impact for the federal government of an average immigrant from the 2016 NAS report. Assuming that immigrants increase the cost of public goods, which they do, and assuming the current path of taxes and spending continues into the future, which we should, the average fiscal impact of the average immigrant in the long run is $119,000, a debit. Average cost for an immigrant in the long term on the federal government is $119,000. We brought in 60 million immigrants in the last 70 years. You do the math. $120,000 per person is a long-term budgetary impact for them. And that isn't even, that's before we even get to GDP. There's a fiscal impact, but of course we also have to look at the economic impact. Yeah, we have data that shows that the total increase in GDP, this is the short-run immigration surplus in 2015, from a study, it's an updated study from George Borjas in the Journal of Economic Perspectives. The total increase in GDP accrued from immigrants to our economy is $2.1 trillion. Immigrants added $2.1 trillion to the economy with a short-run surplus. Out of that $2.1 trillion that immigrants added to the economy, $2.053 trillion went to the immigrants themselves. The benefits accrued to themselves. So fully out of $2.1 trillion, $2.05 trillion, the benefits accrued to the immigrants, meaning 50, what would that be? That would mean $50 billion was what native people got out of mass immigration. So, you know, he likes to say, oh, immigration has been a boon for the country. Yeah, wrong. Immigration has caused more crime, more welfare usage. It's cost us money in terms of the federal budget. It's cost us money if you look at the impact on GDP. So you could say that, but, I mean, that's just not true. And anyway, we're not even arguing on an economic basis.
If you're America first, why don't you want more smart, principled people coming into the United States to make us stronger and simultaneously...
Because it doesn't make us stronger. Because it doesn't make us stronger. Bringing in people that will not assimilate does not make our country stronger. And by the way, they're not smart. The average IQ of the Hispanic immigrants coming into the country is 85, and it doesn't change over four generations. That's according to Jason Richwine. You watch, there's a whole video he does at, I think, the Social Contract Conference, where he talks about high school graduation rates, English literacy, identification with America and its culture does not change after three or four generations for Hispanic immigrants. So they're not assimilating. They're not, frankly, they're not smart, or they're not as smart as the people here. They're not benefiting the country. And if you want to talk about people from China or India, well, then they're just not our people. You know, if we're going to go on economics, well, I can tell you you're wrong about that. But we're not even concerned about that. We're talking about the cohesion of the nation. We're talking about the social fabric, which you say you care about. They do not make America stronger. Is LA strong? Is San Francisco strong? Is New York City strong? Or are they weak and chaotic and dominated by oligarchs and political cronies? Filled with shit and crime. Yeah, that's the image of strength, right? As opposed to North Dakota and Idaho.
Then you get the questions about Israel and suggesting that if you're pro-Israel, this means prioritizing America over Israel. That's absolute nonsense. If America had a policy that was not good for Israel but was good for America, I would back it. They talk about the USS Liberty incident.
Wait, when has he ever... He's never done this. I would... That's a very easy hypothetical when you've never
done
it.
There have been multiple studies, U.S. Navy, Joint Chiefs of Staff, CIA, House, Senate, NSA. Most of the reports, according to historian Richard Brownell, do not assign culpability for the incident. They focus on communications failures. I have to say I'm a little bit bewildered why you're so obsessed with an incident that is now 52 years old. If you have theories that are better than those of the American government, they've got operators standing by. Feel free to dial them and tell them about your five-decade-old theories about a military incident from the 1967.
You want to hear about the USS Liberty? The USS Liberty Veterans Association maintains that the ship was deliberately attacked. They are offering a $10,000 prize for anyone who can prove the claim that the USS Liberty was properly investigated. That's the Liberty Veterans Association. But all the studies say, yeah, except for the Veterans Association of the survivors of the Liberty. The Secretary of State at the time, Dean Rusk, says, quote, "I was never satisfied with the Israeli explanation. Their sustained attack to disable and sink Liberty precluded an assault by accident or some trigger-happy local commander. Through diplomatic channels, we refused to accept their explanations. I didn't believe them then, and I don't believe them to this day. The attack was outrageous." At the 99th National Convention of the American Legion, delegates passed Resolution 40, which noted the following, quote, "According to the CIA, information reports from June and October 1967, sources in Tel Aviv reported, quote, Israel's forces knew exactly what flag the Liberty was flying. And Israeli Defense Minister Moshe Dayan said, quote, personally ordered the attack on the Liberty over the objections of senior uniformed military personnel, one of whom characterized the attack as pure murder. Richard Helms, the director of the CIA from 1966 to 1973, stated in a 1984 CIA interview, quote, "Everything possible is done to keep from the American public really the enormity of this attack on an American naval vessel." And quote, "Since this is for the agency's record, I don't think there can be any doubt that the Israelis knew exactly what they were doing. Any statement to the effect that they didn't know that it was an American ship is nonsense." Lieutenant General Marshall S. Carter, the director of the NSA from 65 to 69, recalled in a 1988 NSA interview that he stated at a congressional hearing in 1967 that the attack on the Liberty, quote, "couldn't be anything else but deliberate. There's just no way you could have a series of circumstances that would justify it being an accident." And Carter indicated this remained his belief in 1988. In a 2003 affidavit published in the Congressional Record, Captain Ward Boston Jr., the legal counsel for the 1967 Navy Court of Inquiry, stated, quote, "I know from personal conversations I had with Admiral Kidd, the president of the Court of Inquiry, the President Lyndon Johnson, the Secretary of Defense Robert McNamara, ordered him to conclude that the attack was a case of, quote, mistaken identity, despite overwhelming evidence to the contrary." And lastly, according to the findings published in the Congressional Record of the 2003 Independent Commission of Inquiry, chaired by former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Admiral Thomas Moorer, quote, "there's compelling evidence that Israel's attack was a deliberate attempt to destroy an American ship and kill her entire crew." And quote, "the White House deliberately covered up the facts of this attack." But all the studies, and you should just call someone and tell them your theories. Call someone, and it happened like a long time ago, but all the studies say it was an accident. Yeah, except for the survivors, the USS Liberty Veterans Association, the Secretary of State at the time, the director of the CIA at the time. You also have the CIA in an official report. You've got the Lieutenant General, the director of the NSA at the time, and you've got the congressional captain. You've also got the Congressional Record, Independent Commission of Inquiry, and the American Legion. But, you know, all the studies say, oh, all the studies say that it was totally accidental. Give me a break. Where's the facts and feelings here? And you want to know why it matters? Because why would you be dishonest about this? If it didn't matter, why would you lie about it? Why would you ignore the question? How about somebody gets up to Dan Crenshaw on the microphone and says on June 8th, 1967, and he gets immediately exited from the stage? You know, if it's not such a big deal, why do you go to such great lengths to cover it up? It's because it tells you everything you need to know, that Israel's not our ally, that Israel pursues its interests wherever and whenever it can at the expense of ours, and we don't reciprocate. And if Lyndon Johnson and all the rest did cover it up, that tells you about the nature of the Israel lobby and their government and ours. It happened 50 years ago. What does it even matter? Well, how about I made a joke about something that happened 80 years ago and you read that out verbatim in your fucking speech?
Six-day war. It's a direct and vital interest now in 2019.
Yeah, but the Holocaust is, right, Ben Shapiro?
Okay, speaking of Europe, they tend to say that they like white European ideals, not Western ideals. Western ideals would be a thing, right?
Correct.
Because you can read about Western ideals in books. White European ideals. I'm wondering exactly what they're talking about. They're not talking about Christian ideals. You can read about those in books too, right? Or Judeo-Christian ideals, which I talk about, right? Instead, they talk about white European ideals. I'm confused. What are white ideals? What do white ideals look like? Do white ideals look like, you know, like the professors at these universities who are overwhelmingly white and overwhelmingly socialist?
Oh, but they're socialist.
What do white ideals look like? How about
European? Yeah, I'll tell you. I love how you asked that question. What does that look like? I don't know. People disagree. I think everybody understands exactly what that means. Nobody's talking that white people have one idea. That's obviously not it. And this, again, this is why he did it this way. I'll preempt your questions. Yeah, these are not our questions. Nobody's talking about white European ideals. We're talking about white European culture. We're talking about a white European society. We're talking about the mannerisms and customs of white people. Obviously. You know, sure, maybe black people don't have shared values, but they have a shared culture. They have a shared kinship. They have shared mannerisms. Things that go back, you know, these people have been in the country for 500 years, and they have a culture that's diverging from ours and was never the same. I'm going to pretend I don't know. I'm going to pretend that there's as much of a difference between an Englishman and a Russian as there is between an Englishman and a Nigerian, you know, and somebody from Zimbabwe, right? That's what he's saying. Well, what is white? What is European? Yeah, because there's as much of a difference between a Spanish person and a French person than there is between a Spanish person and an Aboriginal Australian, right? Pretend not to know what we're talking
ideals,
about
like
more.
Like socialists over in various parts of Europe? Are you really happy with how Germany's being governed right now, are you?
But they're socialist? But they're socialist? It doesn't matter. If they're socialist, it doesn't look like the south side of fucking Chicago. They might be socialists in Vermont. We wouldn't know because they're not killing each other every day. That's what we're talking about.
What do European ideals look like to you? Do the white communists at Berkeley have these white European ideals? Race does not have ideals. It's just a melanin level.
There it is. And then you have a complete rejection of race. Race, of course, is not just a melanin level. Race is real, obviously, you know. The idea, oh, it's just how, what color you are. And this is the crux of it. The man doesn't believe in race, except for when it comes to Israel. Of course race is real. Of course race determines things. It's been proven. It's been proven in social studies. It's been proven in genetic studies. Of course it's different. You just look at group differences in IQ, which Ben Shapiro acknowledges. Ben Shapiro will acknowledge that group differences exist in IQ, racial differences, but he says, oh, but skin color is all that race is. Race doesn't have ideology. Maybe not, but race does have other characteristics. It's just melanin level. Who's the leftist here? It's the same people saying race is a social construct that would agree with this.
It's just a skin color or a place of origin. If you think it does, you are absolutely indistinguishable. You are identical to the identity politics left, to the intersectional left.
It's the spoiler opposite. Alert, they think race is a social construct.
And then the alt-writers talk about how white people are superior to others, but
no,
their own idiocy and bigotry demonstrates that isn't true.
For, you know, excusing the obviously, they say that white people are smarter, but they're dumb. Now, nice argument, faggot. But beyond that, nobody who has asked a question, who supports my show, has ever said white people are superior. I've never said that. I've actually repeatedly said that I don't even identify as white. And that's why he doesn't have a clip for that. He's got a clip for every other thing I've said going back 5 fucking years from Charlottesville and from obscure posts about me in Vice or whatever. They think white people are superior. Yeah, can I get a source on that? When has that ever been said? I explicitly said yesterday that we're all equal before God.
And they talk about the demographic shift in the country is ruinous. They point to the fact that non-white folk tend to vote Democrat. But this ignores that voting is malleable. The fact is that a huge percentage of California Hispanics vote for Democrats. 80% of Florida Hispanics currently favor Florida Governor Ron DeSantis.
Yeah, I just went over this. We caught the tail end of the speech. I think we got to this point. Do you know why this is dishonest, obviously? California's Hispanics are Mexicans. Florida's Hispanics are largely Cuban. It is 100% specific to what's happening in Florida. Not all Hispanics are the same. True. Yeah, some of them, because of this law, you know, because of a accident of history, essentially, Cuba had a communist regime. America, during the Cold War, passed a law that said that if you get on the land, we will make you a citizen. If you're a Cuban escaping the communist regime. The people fleeing Cuba, they supported the Cold Warrior Ronald Reagan. They supported the conservatives that opposed communism. That's a little bit different than the Mexican invasion that's happening in Texas, California, Arizona. And I say that as somebody that's Mexican. The constitution of immigrants since 1965 is 50% Hispanics. Of the 50% of Hispanics, 50% of those are Mexicans. So Mexicans have accounted for fully 25% of all immigration since 1965, of the 60 million or something like this. So when we're talking about Texas, we're talking about Arizona, California, we're not talking about Cubans that escaped Fidel Castro. We're talking about Mexicans who you would be pressed to find a state, a race, a national race where they vote more than 35% in favor of a Republican. Even in this example, he says, oh, well, with DeSantis, they voted 40% for a Republican. Can you find an example where they vote over 50%? Because I can't. They voted 80% for Beto O'Rourke because his name was Beto. It's malleable. Where does that happen? If you look at the data, Asians vote for Democrats as they become more assimilated. As Asians become more assimilated over generations, they tend to vote for Democrats more. In other words, the racial divergence between natives and immigrants increases as they stay here longer, as opposed to the opposite. And how about blacks? Does anybody want to talk about how they voted 97% for Barack Obama? Or how they voted 91% for Hillary Clinton? Yeah, that's really malleable. Voting is malleable. Okay, tell me when blacks vote more than 20% for a Republican in this century. Voting is malleable. Not in the next 15 years, it isn't. 75% for Chinese and Indians. 90% for blacks. 67% for Hispanics. In the next 20 years, it's going to become a majority non-white country, and specifically in states, in Texas, in Georgia, in Florida, in Arizona, Colorado, Virginia. We saw it 2 days ago. The composition of these states goes from people that, if you look at Hispanic immigrants, 1 in 10 of them identify as Republican. 1 in 20 illegal Hispanics identify as Republicans from Pew Research. this happening in 10, 20 years. Maybe it's malleable over a millennium, but we don't have a millennium. How can you say you're a social conservative when you're in favor of bringing people over who at a rate of 1 to 10 support the Republican Party if they're legal, 1 to 20 if they're illegal, who are voting for Democrats, obviously left-wing policies? It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense at all. It's just, and this is just lies. This is what I said. It's obfuscation, complete obfuscation. This is why I didn't want us to ask the questions, because somebody might have called them on that. He's going to pretend like, oh, the Florida Hispanics are the same as California. And we're not even going to mention Texas and the electoral math and all that. Bro, I'm smarter.
Hispanics,
I'm smarter than you are. Sorry, I'm smarter than you are. I'm better than you are. You know, what does Jacob Sartorius say? Well, he actually says something about the opposite. He says, what is it? Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. It's actually the opposite. I'm just more hardworking and more talented than Ben Shapiro.
One way, because race is not the basis for voting. Ethnicity is not the basis for voting.
Okay.
Culture may be the basis for voting, but ethnicity
tell
is
that
not.
To the
race
blacks that voted 97% for Barack
factor.
Obama.
Culture is a different thing. That affects how people think. But none of this is about reality. Okay, so we have step one, and that is you masquerade as a MAGA Nick. And then we have step two.
MAGA
and
Nick?
And you claim that you're the true believer. And then we have step three, which is to troll, right? You just show up at places like this, and you say dumb things. Then you tell your friends how cool you are. And you tell edgy jokes about the Holocaust and cookies. Because, I mean, what could be funnier than that, obviously?
I love how he's just seething about it. Yeah, try to come up with a funny joke, faggot. And you like to make edgy jokes because that's cool. Yeah, try getting it out, faggot.
I mean, that's just good stuff.
That's just
and then
good
finally,
stuff. Yeah,
this
it
is.
Is
the big one. You count funnier on the left to help you out. And this is where this nefarious alliance that I've been talking about between the alt-right and the hardcore left comes in. And believe you me, the radical left will. I mean, we've seen proof of it here tonight. I'm here decrying for 40 minutes the evils of the alt-right and white supremacism. And there are people up there calling me an alt-right white supremacist.
Those beady little eyes.
Okay, the left will literally call anybody
me,
on the right
beady
alt-right,
little
even
eyes.
If we say vocally and in no uncertain terms that the alt-right is pure unbridled, vile
Aryan.
Garbage. Even if members of the alt-right target those people
check?
On the
yes.
mainstream right. Even if Donald Trump condemns the worldview. Listen, you can argue with anything mainstream conservatives say. It's a free country. We disagree with each other pretty frequently, but there's no doubt that mainstream conservatives are pretty easily distinguishable from the alt-right. But it doesn't matter.
True.
The media will lie about this anyway. So the Boston Globe.
True, they are distinguished from us.
We'll call my website, The Daily Wire, an alt-right outpost. We force them to recant. The Economist will call me the alt-right sage without the rage. We'll force them to recant. Over at Boston University, where I'm speaking next week, they're festooning posters of my face with a Hitler mustache, which makes perfect sense.
Which makes perfect sense. He's not even funny. He's just these snarky little... Psych! That makes perfect sense. It actually doesn't. Funny, dude. Really funny.
Students
Bro,
at this
LMFAO
university
on
will
reason.
Mob people trying to put up posters for a lecture. They'll tear down banners advertising the speech and replace it with a banner reading, "Be tolerant, accept racism." I challenge you to find anything in this speech or anything else I have said that is racist. Really, I'm waiting. Operators on standby. They'll issue a flyer that literally depicts me as a cockroach on a bottle
okay.
of bug
we
spray
know
with the label,
then
be gone. I do love that one, I will say. That was pretty great. I think that my favorite thing about that is that these people, they hear dog whistles everywhere. Right? Donald Trump
okay, yeah, yeah. You're
will
not
say
a racist.
Something and they will, oh, it's a dog whistle. I say Judeo-Christian value, which is obviously untrue. Dog whistles everywhere. Just dog whistles everywhere. Intersectional hierarchy of victimhood. Very odd. For every other group, we have to be careful of dog whistles that don't even make sense. When it comes to the Jews, you're like, I'll put him on a bottle of Bug Be Gone, this Jew right here. Maybe it's, I have a feeling, it might be because, unfortunately, for the intersectional left, Jews don't actually count as a quote-unquote minority group.
What are you talking about? Bro, what are you talking about? I get called anti-Semitic all day long by the left. What a fucking lie that is. The guy talking about victimology. Yeah, the troops don't get sent anywhere. They just get deployed and they die for Israel, right? But we're victims of anti-Semitism and the only dog whistles are against Jews and Jews don't even get protected by the left. What are you talking about? Of course they do. Of course they do. What about Bill Maher? Bill Maher said the N-word. Anybody remember that?
And the only minority groups are the ones that they perceive are victimized. Jews aren't victimized enough, despite the fact that on a per capita basis,
there
Jews
is,
are the most victimized group in the United States.
There it is. No, but we're the only victims.
Close,
the eternal victim. Eternal
but it's not just
victim.
The students at this university. The media will suggest that President Trump is in league with the alt-right. Even at this late date,
Why,
they'll neglect the
shit.
Fact that Trump has repeatedly condemned white supremacism. that he has purged his administration of people who were remotely friendly with the alt-right, people like Steve Bannon. They'll simply overlook that Trump
isn't delusional. That's not why. He didn't purge Steve Bannon because he was alt-right. He purged Steve Bannon because Steve Bannon was a leaker and untrustworthy. And that's not like it's, look, Donald Trump is just proving that he's, like, not racist. Yeah, great job. I'm sure you'll defeat the left trying to prove to them how not racist you are, right?
Supremacists, they'll declare that the MAGA hat is indeed a Nazi swastika. So, clarification for people on the left who apparently can't listen or read. If someone believes that all men are created equal, and men means like mankind, that's what the word meant when it was written in the Declaration of Independence, you idiots. If someone believes that all men are created equal,
idiots.
That every American should
this
have
is
equality
the least
before the law, in free market capitalism,
in
small
least
government, and equal rights for people of all races, that person is not on the alt-right. In fact, they despise the alt-right, and the alt-right despises them. But people on the left know this. They just prefer the lie. Why? Because their goal is to delegitimize the entire right. The goal is to smear the entire right with the label alt-right, to shut the Overton window to everybody who's anywhere to the right of Hillary Clinton.
That's like the reverse of being true. You're trying to shut the Overton window to anybody to the right of you. That's what you're trying to do. We're doing the opposite. We're trying to blow the doors open on the Overton window. The left hates us. Go ahead. Ask Jared Holt. Ask anybody. They would much prefer that we all be dead on the so-called, alt-right, on the America First right. They would much prefer you over us. And everybody knows that. Just take a look at who they attack. Jared Holt does hit pieces about me. He's been doing that since I had a show that barely got 1,000 views per episode. Yeah, the left really loves us. That's why Jared Holt tries to dox us, and Will Sommers is reaching out to our people and whatever.
That's the New York Times splashed a photo collage on their front page of me and Milton Friedman and Dave Rubin and Richard Spencer. The goal was to lump everybody together and then suggest that we are radicalizing the American population, as though Richard Spencer and I have a damn thing in common. For the first thing, I can read.
he can't read. What a fucking... I just can't get over it, man. Well, I can read. They say they're white supremacists, but they're dumb. You're an idiot. I mean, this is like a pathetic weasel of a man, a weaselly, sad, small, little man. And I'm not talking about stature. I'm talking about who the man is. Dishonest, lying, juvenile, pathetic, uncharismatic creep. This is who we're talking about. Scum of the earth. And I know we're going to win. I watched the speech and I know we're going to win because these people, they're terrible and people can see that. I think you're awful.
Political correctness is a weapon for the left, but it's also a weapon.
Ben Shapiro says, I'll tell you. What does he say? And I'll tell you, not everyone, Arthur, is awful. I think you're awful, Ben. Inviting me on this show. Doing this, changing the title of your speech. Making your monologue about me. You just wanted to attack me. What about you? Look at what you did with those cookie jokes. I know. How about another joke, Ben? I think we've had enough of your jokes, Nick. What do you get?
The alt-right. Harvard Professor Steven Pinker.
Ben, do you ever leave the Daily Wire studio? Do you ever think what it's like to be anybody but yourself? To be somebody like me? To be anybody but yourself? They don't. They think that we'll just sit there and take it like good little boys. That we won't werewolf and go wild. Well, it seems like you've got an awful lot of sympathy for yourself.
Who the left tried to cancel for saying this, made this clear last year. He was saying that political correctness is a way for the left to shut down debate. By shutting down debate, they actually open the door to the alt-right because they say you can't ask certain questions. Then the questions get asked, they shut it down, and people go, wait, I'll just look online for the answer, and the first answer they find might be something from an alt-right website, and they start to take it more seriously. Right? This is something Steven Pinker said, so the left called him alt-right and shut him down. There's something that's the most nefarious of all when it comes to the sort of de facto playing off each other political lines between the far left and the alt-right, and that is that they actually mirror themselves in politics and culture. They both have an identity politics view. As I say, the left's view of American politics is that Americans can be identified by group. Americans are black or Hispanic or white or green or Jewish or lesbian, or in the best of all possible worlds, a half Native American, half black, little person who is gender fluid. Right? If you're on the left, you don't describe people by their belief system
so
or by what
funny,
they do. You describe
bro.
Them by their attributes.
Yo,
you
laugh
them
it
by
up.
LMAO,
Ben. Ben, you slayed me with that one. And bro, I'm wheezing right now. I am going to laugh.
I am going to laugh. Little person of color. I am going to laugh. Yeah, good one, bro. Good one, Sheldon.
Whole intersectional hierarchy deciding how victimized you are based on how many of these boxes you check. The only difference between the left and the alt-right is that they reverse the hierarchy, meaning that the left thinks that hierarchy is bad.
Yeah,
right?
That's the only difference. White people are the most powerful. Only difference between America First and the left is, well, we're just white supremacists and they're black supremacists. No other differences. Yeah, that's an honest take, Ben.
And then progressively you go all the way down to the bottom and you get to the LGBT people, and those are the people who are the least powerful according to this hierarchy. And they say that hierarchy is bad. We should just flip the hierarchy. And then you have the alt-right, and they say, no, the hierarchy is good, and we should keep the hierarchy the way that it is. And then there's all the rest of us who are like, what hierarchy? There shouldn't be a hierarchy.
That's not conservative.
We're individuals. We live in a free country.
No, wrong. You're not individuals. There's no such thing. Clearly, you being Jewish influences your identity. Clearly, and anyway, even if you were continuously campaigning against that, people would never stop seeing themselves as tribal, as men and women, as Christians or Muslims. You cannot obfuscate away these identities with all this liberal ideology. Well, we're all just liberal individuals. No, we're fucking not. Maybe you believe that. Maybe you could say you believe that. Your audience can say that. But it's not true. It's not true. People are not atomic. People are not in themselves. People have fathers and mothers. They've got siblings. They had teachers, they have peers, they grew up in a specific place, in a specific time, and they are influenced by all of it. These things are immutable. The idea, I'm just transcendent, I'm just this sort of impersonal brain outside of my body. I'm not influenced by my genetics, by my ancestry, by my upbringing, my environment, anything. I'm a brain in a vat. I'm a brain in a vat, and my body and everything about me is just been programmed. It's just a series of stimuli to my liberal blank slate brain. Give me a break, dummy. Who believes this shit?
All of this is terrible for the country. It's terrible for the discourse. We should be able to ask tough questions and answer them. We should. We should be able to have conversations. And we should also be able to see the difference between good, fact-based, rational answers and identity politics bullshit pandering, which is a specialty, unfortunately, of both the radical left and the alt-right.
This is literally the whole speech is
pandering. Have the conversation. The alt-right really doesn't want to either. They prefer memeing and trolling.
That's literally not true. That's so not true. What do you think the Q&A was about? The Q&A was about a conversation. It was your guys that shut it down. It's the dishonesty. It's like palpable. It's in the air. Can you like reach out and grasp it? Can you physically feel it and touch it? Is it tangible? He starts out by saying, well, we're not taking questions. These are not real questions. I'm going to preempt them all, and then we'll take the real ones. He does a whole monologue about me without naming me or without ever engaging with me. And then at the end, he says, the alt-right would never engage. Well, hitting them for asking questions at Charlie Kirk's event where they get exited or their questions are dismissed and they're called names. It's just so wrong. It's just so wrong. On so many levels, what he's saying is not true. It's immoral. It's unethical. Everything that he's doing is just wrong. He is a liar. He is a liar. As Jesse Lee Peterson would say, he is a child of the lie. We know what it's about. It's a battle between truth and lies. It's a battle between good and evil. That's what this is.
The rest. So here I am, stuck in the middle with you. Anyone
Dumb.
On the right or left who wants to have an actual conversation about tough issues that isn't the bumper sticker, but isn't also not willing to pretend that ugly bigotry is decency, or that identity politics reflects truth, or that trollish memeing is a substitute for an actual worldview. Let's have the conversation. Thanks so much. Happy to take your questions.
Yeah. I love how the whole monologue, 45 minutes of him talking, and this is the last thing I'll say, and then we'll cut it off because it's midnight. This guy does a 45-minute monologue about me. He doesn't say my name once throughout the whole video. He strawmans all of our arguments. He kicked all of our people out of the event or wouldn't let them line up for questions. I'll preempt their questions. I'll say their questions in a wrong way and then answer them in a way that's convenient for me. The guy smears me on Twitter all the time. He says, I would never censor somebody. Yeah, you just tweet to your 2 million followers clips of me that are intended to get me banned, right? So after all this, then at the end he says, I'll debate anybody who isn't a racist memer. Let's have a conversation. How does anybody believe this shtick? How does anybody watch this? I guess they're just ignorant. Anybody could watch this must just be totally and completely ignorant of the whole score. These tactics
could not be more dishonest. You know, he's going to attack somebody for 45 minutes, me, who is not there. I have no representatives there to ask questions. He won't even name me, won't debate me, won't engage. I mean, that notwithstanding. And then at the end, he's going to say, let's have a conversation. Let's have my controlled conversation. We're not asking any of the wrong questions. Any of the wrong questions are trolling. The wrong questions are the alt-right and neo-Nazis. It speaks for itself. It speaks for itself. I don't know if I'll go back and chop this up and edit it. You know, maybe I'll put in some quotations from here. Everything that he says about us and our worldview can be backed up with data, with facts. The guy that's talking about facts, don't care about his feelings, is pretty light on citations tonight, on quotations and on other things. So I don't know if I'm going to chop this up, and I don't even know where I begin how to do that, but I think it'd be worth exposing this. I don't know how you'd get it to a big audience. Maybe I'd publish it on my channel, but this really deserves to be scrutinized because this is the strategy. This was the big counterattack. This was their Normandy, I guess you could say, or something like that. This was intended for Ben Shapiro to come out, their intellectual heavyweight, and now all the fake conservatives are lining up and saying, wow, this was the moment. This was the big speech. Because now their campaign is, well, the purges didn't work, the white supremacy smear didn't work, the doxing didn't work, the deplatforming didn't work. So they're alt-right 2.0, and if everyone just says it enough, then people will be convinced of it, and they'll not be credible. But that's not going to work, because it's all wrong. And we're going to come on Sunday, the Turning Point event. We're going to come on Tuesday and on Wednesday. And let me just tell you, they made their lives a lot harder. We tried to play nice. We tried. We tried to play by their rules. We showed up to their Q&As. We lined up. We listened. We asked politely. And now maybe that has to change. If this is how it's going to go, I don't know. Maybe we're going to have to try different tactics. We thought this might happen. Certainly I've got some things in my sleeve. And so we'll see what happens by SAS. I'll just say that. What is it, December 19th through December 22nd? Let's just say we'll see what happens by SAS. You know, there's some emails, there are some statements, some stories that I've heard. Didn't want to have to play this way, but if this is what they're going to do, then we'll have to play dirty. But that's the stream. You know, kind of a long night. I've been streaming since what, 7:30? So I've been streaming for 4.5 hours, if you can believe it. But hey, I apologize. I didn't get a chance to read all the lino. It looks like we had 12 Ninjaginis, 2 Ninjets. Big Money Wagey gave 37,000 lino points. That's insane. Thank you so much to all the people that sent lino, or lemons now, I guess it is. I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to read them, but I'm kind of heated right now. Kind of a lot going on, but hey, thanks to everybody that gave lemons. I really do appreciate it. Now, it's been a huge week for the show. None of this would be possible, and I know it's kind of gay to say, it's kind of like, but none of it would be possible without you guys, without the super chats, the lemons and all this. You know, that's just it. Ben Shapiro said, I'm here to make money. I'm not here to make money. Ben Shapiro's out there to make money, and he's quite good at it. I tell the truth, and the money comes because people see the value in what I do, and I appreciate the people that that do that. I'm going to open the chest as well. I'm not going to forget. I'll open the chest. So if you're here, stay tuned. I'm distributing the chest, 5.5K lino, but as it's being distributed, I'll continue to talk. But it is true, you know. The people that are watching this, the people that are turning out to these events, the people that are retweeting this, and the brave people like Michelle Malkin and some of these other high-profile people. Off the top of my head, I can't really think of people that are explicitly defending us. But, you know, everybody that's been a part of this, everybody that's been defending us behind the scenes, on the front lines, on Twitter, whatever. This is a fight. This is a war. I said this a couple of days ago. This is a war. We have been winning uncontested so far. We have gotten the first major counteroffensive. And it's going to be tough, and it's going to be a fight, and it's going to be asymmetrical. It's going to be an uphill battle. But we are here to fight it. I think in some ways this might have been a victory. This just legitimized us. This just cemented the fact that we are relevant. We are a threat. We are being talked about. And we will be back tomorrow for ASU with Dan Crenshaw. We will be back on Sunday at UCLA. We will be back on Tuesday at University of Florida. And we'll be back on Wednesday at North Carolina State University. We're not going away. We're not going to be deplatformed. We're not going to be smeared. We're not going anywhere. So, I mean, they can lie all they want, but you know, they can't run from their lies forever. They can't run from the truth forever. But that's going to do it for us tonight. I'm tired. I got to eat something. I got to take a nap. I've been streaming at this high level for hours and hours. But thanks for watching. Thanks again for all the lino, or all the lemons. Looks like a lot of lemons being sent up in chat. Thanks for all that. Hey, thanks for watching.
I know it's been a late night. We had, what, like, I think at one point, like 15,000 people watching. That's like one of the biggest streams, period, on the internet. So, well, I mean, maybe not like with Ninja, but you know what I'm talking about. Political streams, absolutely. So thanks so much for watching. Thanks for all the lemons and everything. We'll be back on America First tomorrow. I don't know what time the Dan Crenshaw is. The Dan Crenshaw event is at Phoenix tomorrow. I might cover that on DLive first, depending on the time. But you can find out updates about this at t.me/NickJFuentes1, my Telegram, or Twitter at NickJFuentes. Follow me there. But like I said, hope you enjoyed the stream. Thanks for watching. Thanks for the lemons. And we'll have to see you tomorrow. It's another night, another salvo in the Groiper War, but we're going to keep going. America First is rising. But take it easy. Have a great rest of your evening.